June 8th, 2009. And we're going to go over this Earth 2100. I don't know why the slime folks, they came up. But we're going to go over Earth 2100 in the second and third hours. Also take your calls, do a news blitz. But we are joined in the first hour by Joe Bannister, former IRS agent. Some of you know him from America Freedom to Fascism. Some of you might know him from his own radio show. How are you tonight, Joe?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you, Jason.
And really what I wanted to do with Joe is I wanted to kind of go over his story for those that don't know it. I know he's probably bored to death of it. He was on Alex's show. He did an interview with me for my upcoming picture today. But then in the second half hour, really take calls on the subject matter, not only the IRS, the Federal Reserve System, his court case, and anything else you'd like to ask him. So for our viewers that did miss this morning's show, that somehow missed the Alex Jones show, I don't know, maybe they have a day job. Why don't you tell people about your background and why you're here?
Thanks, Jason.
You got it.
From about 1986 till 1993, I served in the private sector as an accountant because I had an accounting degree from San Jose State University. And in the early 90s, I decided that the accounting world was very boring, and I couldn't possibly envision working as an accountant for another 30 or 40 years. So I decided to see if there was something in the law enforcement career realm that might please me. And I learned that there were a number of federal agencies that love to recruit accountants. So I applied to the FBI and the IRS Criminal Investigation Division. And I won't go into the long story of why the FBI didn't work out. I did qualify to be hired there, but they had a hiring freeze. And in the meantime, the IRS Criminal Investigation Division contacted me in August of 1993. And I decided to accept their offer of employment. And in November of 1993, I was sworn in as a special agent for the IRS. The IRS has a criminal investigation division. And in that division are about 3,000 special agents or criminal investigators who investigate violations of the federal income tax and money laundering laws. And so beginning in 1993, November, is when I started to do that job. And I intended to spend a full 20-year career doing that job. But about 3 years into it, became aware of some information that kind of changed my course.
So how do you become aware of that information? I mean, you were telling me that some of these investigations themselves takes years at a time. I mean, you seem like you're a pretty cross the T's, dot the I's kind of guy. Very busy, very, very intricate, very, you know, focused. So how is it that you go from, I'm an IRS agent, I'm the guy that's going and prosecuting people, I'm putting information against them, to the guy that's saying, hey, wait a minute, this doesn't add up, what's going on here?
It's just a matter of, like with most people, you're only aware of, you know, you only know what you know, what's been presented to you, what you've evaluated. And up till that point, about 3 years into my career, what I knew was what I learned at San Jose State University or studying for the CPA exam or during IRS training. But I was a fairly avid talk radio listener, and I listened to talk radio while I was driving around doing my IRS investigations. And I listened to a talk radio show of a guy who was he cared about the Constitution. He wasn't a partisan kind of guy. His name's Jeff Metcalf. He's still around. And he had a lady come on his show talking about the income tax and saying things that I had never really contemplated before, that most Americans weren't required to actually pay the federal income tax because it was against the law to tax their labor without being apportioned. And looked into it. It's been about 2 years, as you say. I do try to dot my I's.
All right, we'll talk about that on the other side. We're at the break. It's the InfoWarrior with Jason Burmes. Go check out the blog. It's all fixed up. You got the podcast, the Listen Live, theinfowarrior.com. Back after this.
I say the victory speeches for later. Streets on fire. The mob goes wow, wow, wow. Streets on fire.
And we are back. It's the InfoWarrior with Jason Burmes. We are joined by Joe Bannister. FreedomAboveFortune.com is the website.
That's correct, sir.
All right, so you're an IRS agent. You start coming across information that makes you question whether or not the income tax is legal for the majority of Americans. The majority of people who you're actually starting investigations on, prosecuting, going in and getting these people, bringing them before a court of law. And before we get into that, you were talking to me earlier, really the majority of the people that the IRS goes after are poor people. I mean, they really don't go after the big dogs that often, do they?
No, I mean, statistically, obviously, most people are average people.
Yeah.
And so those are the people that the IRS reaches out and touches most of the time. And they're the people that are least able to defend themselves or really even understand how to fight back. So they're easy pickings for the IRS to go out and intimidate and rake over the coals.
And you were using the example that in a lot of cases, you know, someone gets a bill from the IRS for $200 or $500 and they realize it's going to cost them $1,000 or $2,000 just to defend or fight it, whether they're in the right or not. So they're just more than willing to just give that money over, correct?
Yeah, there's even been testimony that the IRS purposely would send out those kinds of notices knowing that, you know, a certain percentage would just not fight. So it was easy money for the IRS to just go out and take because people would just give it to them willingly.
All right. Now, you're a very meticulous guy like we were discussing earlier, and you come across this information. Now, you're not just listening to radio shows. You're actually checking the info yourself and backing it up. And it gets to the point where you literally have boxes of this information. Now, I don't want to fast forward too far, but just boxes of this information. I guess this is really, I mean, if it's in the early to mid-90s, really when the internet just started, most web pages were text. So you were able to get maybe court cases and that type of things off there?
Yeah. I mean, fortunately, I had access to the internet. But, you know, I mean, the income tax, as we know it today, has been around, well, at least since World War II. But the income tax system has been around since 1913 mm-hmm. when the 16th Amendment was they claim that it was ratified, although there's plenty of evidence that it was not. But basically 80, 90 years they've had to create this web of deceit and pull the wool over the eyes of the American people. So when you go to try to take it apart and study it, you know, it's a huge undertaking. And, you know, I'd certainly encourage people to educate themselves, but, you know, it's almost like a part-time job for a while. Mm-hmm. And you're right. I did, by the time I was done, I'm actually still not done, but at the time when the government really came out and attacked me, I shipped about 18 boxes of research to my attorney. So I had accumulated that much. And it was court cases, IRS documents, the historical documents that went back to the 20s, to the teens, you know, early 1900s. It's, you know, the rabbit hole goes pretty deep.
Yeah, I can imagine. And again, someone as meticulous as yourself and such a good, I mean, you were an investigator. So again, you're supposed to be like trying to weed out all the spots and 18 boxes full. I mean, I guess it's kind of easy for me to imagine since there's papers all over the office in stacks and we do go through those in a month. 2 months period of time, but for you to get specific documents on one subject is just incredible to me. So you come across this information. You're still with the IRS. What happens next?
Well, I have to say when I took on this investigation, and it really was an investigation, but it was a personal one. I didn't ask the IRS for permission to undertake it. I just, on evenings and weekends, set out to disprove these claims that I heard in the talk radio show that most Americans weren't required to pay the federal income tax. Obviously, that's quite a claim to make. And since my entire professional life was wrapped up around the income tax, having become a CPA and then getting sworn in as an IRS special agent, pretty much my whole life was about the income tax. So here's this woman and talk show host claiming that what I have my life wrapped around is deceitful and possibly illegally administered. I needed to get to the bottom of that, primarily because I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution. I took the oath to God, and you know, you just don't take an oath like that lightly. So I just began to look into it and expected that I would find that the claims were baloney. Mm-hmm. But you know, week to month, month to year, you know, I just kept searching for the holes in what she claimed to be true, and I kept finding more and more evidence that what she said was correct. And, you know, with documentation coming from the U.S. Supreme Court, from our Congress, from their own archives, you know, this wasn't – the IRS had led me to believe as an investigator that a so-called tax protester or a info warrior, you know, they just put together a bunch of BS and try to hawk it to people and make money off of it. And when I investigated, I found that there was actually very thorough researchers – you know, like yourself, like Alex, people that really care about an issue, and you hunt for the facts. You hunt for the evidence that's true. And that's what I found when I investigated the federal income tax, that these were truthful people. They did their homework. They were very thorough. And at the end of this two-year period, I would go to work every day as an IRS special agent doing my investigations. But at night and on weekends, rather than, watching football or playing golf, I was cracking books and making visits to the law library and trying to determine if the job that I had been given was actually helping the IRS to steal from people.
And does that starts to eat away at you, doesn't it? I guess, you're talking about, taking this oath to the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, you're starting to figure out that you're going after the little guy who's really done nothing wrong on behalf of a criminal cartel. And that's when you decide to ask them the questions that you have after you've amassed all this information. And where does it go from there?
Well, as I said, I certainly expected – I just did not expect that I'd find all of this very credible information and evidence. But after 2 years of trying, I just couldn't poke holes in it, in the basic concept that the IRS was over-applying the tax law to people that it didn't apply to. And taxing people who weren't supposed to be taxed. And so what I did is I accumulated the highlights of the evidence I had accumulated. I didn't give them all 18 boxes, but just the highlights of it. And I approached my supervisors at the IRS with the intention to have them review it because, I applied all of my professional abilities, my horsepower to it, and came to the result that I came to, that I think there's a problem here. So I figured, take it to my peers, agents who had 5, 10, 15, 20 years more experience than me, but they took the same oath that I took. They had even more investigative experience. Let's see what their reaction is. And unfortunately, I presented the information to them, and I reiterated that I had taken an oath to support and defend the Constitution, that this issue was really important to me, but it should be important to all of us because it looked to me like people's rights were being violated and people's property was being taken, outside of the law. Figured everybody should be concerned about that. But I did say, if you can't answer my questions, I may be forced to resign because I cannot serve two masters. I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And if you're not going to help me resolve this, then, I can't continue in this job. Hmm. Well, having made that based on my inquiries on that premise, of course, that was their door to walk through. And what they did was they told me that they would not review my report, they would not address my concerns, and they would actually provide me with the paperwork to tender my resignation. So that was their basic response. They sent me home for 7 days of administrative leave. They didn't fire me. They just took my badge and
just for asking the question, just and giving them the paperwork.
Yes.
7 days off.
Yeah.
Right off the bat.
Right.
I mean, we're not even going to look at it.
No. And they put that in writing.
And that's just got to be just an incredible just reality check. I mean, I'm sure that you thought they might not have accepted it, but they'd at least take a look at it. I'm sure you didn't think you were going home that day.
Well, right. And I without tooting my own horn, I mean, I was well respected at the San Jose office of the IRS because if someone needed to, if they had executed a search warrant and they had come back with 20 boxes from this suspect, they trusted that I would have the wherewithal to evaluate it. Mm-hmm. If we were going on a high risk search warrant, with shotguns ready, they wanted me along because they knew I wouldn't be shooting them in the back.
Mm-hmm.
I was well-respected and well-trusted, but then when I start to ask questions about the income tax, all of a sudden I'm a bozo. All mm-hmm. of a sudden I'm somebody that doesn't deserve any answer. So I didn't expect them to, hey, stop the world because Joe has a question. But again, they took the same oath. Well, every IRS employee takes the same oath. And they would claim at various points during my short career there that they did care about the rule of law and all these things. But again, as soon as I brought up the very foundation, the income tax and, the job that gave them their pension, their paycheck, they just got real – they kind of clammed up and, treated me like I was Al Capone.
Incredible. All right. So you resign from the IRS. You say, I'm done with you. And then you start practicing what you preach, what you believe in. You know, you stop paying your income tax. You're in America, Freedom to Fascism. Not only are you interviewed in it, but there's that news clip we'll get to in a couple of minutes. But what happens? A couple of years down the line, the IRS comes after you, right?
It took about 5 years. I learned through the Freedom of Information Act that they were monitoring my activities almost from the get-go. You know, here it was that they would refuse to talk to me face-to-face mm-hmm. to actually resolve these issues, but they had no problem, you know, surveilling me and listening to my speeches.
Now, do you have to file your own FOIA to find out if there's actually a file on you?
Yes.
Really? Should I do that for me? What do you think?
I guess it depends on – I mean, I don't know if you're already on their bad list, but
– Well, Jones's website and all that other good stuff's in the Southern Poverty Law Center is where, you know, racists that just want to take down the country militia style. So,
but any citizen under the Freedom of Information Act, you can request all of your transcripts and see what it is the IRS has written about you.
You know, I want to talk about those transcripts on the other side. Very interesting subject matter. We're with Joe Bannister. At the 30 after, we're going to take phone calls, 866-582-9933. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. Go check out the websites, prisonplanet.tv, infowars.com, and my blog, theinfowarrior.com. Back after this.
Slaying test tube babies to corporate crackheads. They flash logos and blast ghettos. Their embroidered neckties say, stop snitching. Conscious rappers and whistleblowers get snitches made of acupuncture needles and marionette strings. There is a war going on for your mind. Professional wrestlers and vice presidents want you to believe them. The desert sky is their blue screen. They superimpose explosions. They shout at you. Pay no attention to the men behind the barred curtain, nor the craters beneath the draped flags. Those hoods are there for your protection, and the medias these days are the size of corpses. There is a war going on for your mind.
We are the insurgents.
And we are back live. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. And now I have the documents right here in front of me. Now, this is part of what you got from a Freedom of Information Act request to the FBI?
To the IRS.
To the IRS. And right here, hopefully we can zoom in a little bit, guys, or on one of these. Can we go with this camera over here, or which one we want? This one? This one? It says PDT right here, where my little finger is right there in between. Let's see if we can get there. Amazing. Now, there we go. Got it in the top corner. Where my little finger is there. PDT. Now, why don't you read what that actually means?
The designation of potentially dangerous taxpayer, or PDT, must be based on verifiable evidence or information. There must also be a nexus to tax administration. And there's five criteria, and they all deal with violence.
Because you're kung fu kicking the agents as you go through the office.
I'm such a violent guy. Taxpayers, number one, taxpayers who physically assault IRS employees or contractors. Never done it. Taxpayers who attempt to intimidate or threaten IRS employees or members of their immediate family through specific threats of bodily harm. Never done it. Number three, persons who are active members of groups that advocate violence against IRS employees. Never been. Four, taxpayers who have committed the acts set forth in any of the preceding criteria, but whose acts have been directed against employees or contractors of other government agencies. Never done it. Number five, taxpayers who are not classified as PDTs through application of the above criteria, but who have demonstrated a clear propensity towards violence through acts of violent behavior. Haven't done that either.
Nothing.
And yet you can see right on my transcript that they've called me a PDT. So it's really chilling. Of course, I've been very active in going after what they've – how they've watched me and what they've written about me, because they've been so reticent to talk to me. Mm-hmm. All I have left is to find out, well, what are they writing about me? What are they – how are they dealing with me? And, you know, they're telling all of their employees – and anyone else who they share this information with, that I'm a potentially dangerous person, that I've engaged in violence when I never have.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that's me. Granted, I've kind of reached out and decided to go to battle with them.
Mm-hmm.
But can you just imagine what kind of things they do to the average citizen who doesn't know how to find out what's been written about them?
Who didn't work for the IRS, who wasn't a criminal investigator.
I mean, it's just really chilling. And you know, so I'm just kind of living this chilling existence. And fortunately, I just, you know, I don't have any fear of the agency. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of pursue this and find out, you know, how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Now, they come after you. There's a court case out there. They bring you up on four separate charges. Why don't you tell people what those are?
I was indicted by a federal grand jury in November of 2004. And it was a four-count indictment. I was charged with three counts of preparing a false federal income tax return for a client and one count of defrauding the United States of America. I'm sorry, conspiring to defraud the United States of America.
How dare you? So all these things happen. The prosecutor doesn't even want to give you bail. I mean, you're a flight risk. You're a dangerous guy. He wants you to stay in jail until your trial. Luckily, the judge has a little bit more common sense. He sees your record and it's spotless, obviously spotless, right. Or you wouldn't be, you know, a criminal investigator in a federal agency to begin with. Let's make that clear. I mean, obviously your record's spotless. So they let you go. You do a little research on tax attorneys. You find Dickstein and somebody else, right?
Yeah, Jeffrey Dickstein from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Robert Bernhoft from mm-hmm. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Mr. Bernhoft actually recently represented Wesley Snipes in that case. So he, you know, he's pretty well known. And
I want to talk to you about that. And this is the short break, and we're definitely going to take some callers on the next end. But you beat the IRS, basically. I mean, they found that you did not do any of the one things. You didn't file any illegal tax returns. You didn't lie on them. And you did not attempt to defraud the United States of America, correct?
Right. Yet being prosecuted for doing so, you'd think they'd have a little bit of evidence to bring to trial, to mm-hmm. a federal trial.
And they had to bring your former colleagues and superiors on the stand, and they actually gave glowing reviews of you, correct?
Yes. Well, our defense, we brought that, my former superior there at the IRS, who was the person I presented my report to and with the highlights of my research.
Well, at least he had that much self-respect, you know, for himself and respect for you that he wasn't just going to, to tell the truth about what kind of a person you were and not right. just, you know, let you rot in some cell for years for something you didn't do. You didn't break the law. Other side, we're going to take calls, but I want to get into this Wesley Snipes shenanigans and much, much more. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. Five nights a week, folks. Monday through Friday, 9 to midnight Central Time. We'll be back after this. PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com.
Ooh, Lord, I travel so hard. Ooh, Lord, I travel so hard. Don't nobody know my trouble but God. Don't nobody know my trouble but God.
All right, folks, we are back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis, joined by Joe Bannister, freedomabovefortune.com. Call in, ask him whatever you'd like, 866-582-9933. Now, you go to court, and you're found not guilty on all charges. I mean, that's got to feel good, right?
It felt really good. And, of course, I didn't expect anything different. But, you know, a federal court is it's not the kind of arena where you want to, you know, challenge anything because it's very controlled. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you really don't know for sure, as innocent as you might be. And there are other innocent people who have been convicted. Mm-hmm. But I fortunately had a jury of people who were listening. They were intent on what was going on. And they could obviously see that there was, you know, the government couldn't provide any evidence of any wrongdoing. And on cross-examination by my defense attorneys, they actually admitted that what I had submitted with these returns, these tax returns, was truthful. Mm-hmm. And yeah. just what the IRS would expect to receive. So, you know, the jury, even after the trial, I talked to them and some of the members, and they said, well, you know, we couldn't understand why all the evidence that the government kept bringing up made you look so good. And I said, well, that's all they had was that kind of evidence.
I mean, you are the Rocky of the tax resistance movement. I mean, you really are.
Well, and I did say to Alex earlier today, you probably heard it, that, you know, being attacked is not fun. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. I don't want to be attacked. But sometimes the ramifications of being attacked presents tremendous benefits for all of us. Mm-hmm. Because then these deceitful, tyrannical government agents have to actually step out into the light. At the light of day of a courtroom, you know, where actual evidence has to be presented. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that can be a good thing for those of us that are on the side of the truth.
Absolutely. Now, I want to fast forward. Now, you're in Aaron Russo's America, Freedom to Fascism. And I want to remind people, we actually have reflections and warnings right now at Infowars.com. Aaron Russo's final interview. Check it out. Lots of extras there. But you're in the film. It's one of the bigger films out there for the Patriot movement. Attacked in the MIAC report as subversive material. Apparently extremists hand out America freedom to fascism. And in that movie, you get called into the mainstream media and you do this interview. And in the interview, the woman says, how do you feel about, you know, getting over on the IRS, getting away with not paying your taxes? And you have like just a staunch response. I love it. I tell people about it all the time. Why don't you tell people about that?
Well, kind of a last minute, and I mean, I maybe people are seeing it as they see me here today. I'm not a media person. Mm-hmm. I just questioned the IRS and turned into, I guess, the only one that decided to do so. But I was asked to be on this MSNBC show hosted by Maria Bartiromo, and she was kind of, you know, what I would call your typical mainstream media hostess, where she seems to have an agenda that has nothing to do with the truth, and she seemed to be implying that I was hiding and getting away with something. And she point blank asked me, how have you gotten away with not paying your taxes all these years? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was incensed by that question, and I tried to, you know, remain composed, but I said, I've not gotten away with anything. I'm not hiding from anyone. I'm simply trying to ask questions from the agency about what my responsibilities are and what the responsibilities are for the rest of America. And they seem extremely hesitant to respond, to actually sit down with the American people and discuss it. And I remember saying that, you know, instead of pulling up a chair to sit down with you, they pull out a club to beat you with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly how they do it. It's like they're the enforcement arm of the mafia. They're the guys that come to break your kneecaps if you don't want to pay. And that's insane to me on another level, but it continues to this day. Now, you continue your fight. I mean, you go across. I mean, I've spoken at events with you. Well, what are you up to these days? I mean, you're obviously in Texas right now.
Yeah, I mean, I most of my work is just accounting work, back to the boring accounting work. Mm-hmm. I go to speak when I'm invited. You know, I rarely ever get paid to speak, mm-hmm. so it's more just a volunteer effort.
And I want you to talk about that, because everybody thinks that we're making, you know, money hand over fist in this Patriot movement. No, it's something that drives us, that we would do if there wasn't a penny at stake. And that is most often the case. You know, when I go speak with you, I don't get paid either. I go there to talk to people, to relay my message, to try to get that across and try to broaden the audience, because these questions do need to be addressed. And the government has only gotten more and more out of control. And I mean, that 16th Amendment issue, where it literally says it's a voluntary tax, is insanity to me. But you bring it up to the normal person. And you know, in fact, I was talking to somebody today, and I'm like, and they're like, well, why is it, you know, Joe Bannister, you know, beats the IRS in court. Why isn't every lawyer in the country pointing to the Bannister versus the IRS case?
Well, the problem is that, you know, we have no hand in how our legal system has come to be. But a trial, mm-hmm. at the trial level, is not something that has any precedent to it, other than the fact – it's a fact that I was acquitted after being charged with these heinous crimes. But you can't use my acquittal as a precedent in another case. If mine was an appellate case, if I had appealed up the chain of command in the courts, then that could have precedential value. But just being a criminal trial where I was acquitted.
So in other words, they would have had to convict you first. You would have had to fight the conviction, win an appellate court before anybody can even use that as a precedent.
Right. But then the appeal issue might not have anything to do with the actual underlying. It might have been some technical problem that the judge, you know, he made some mistake during the trial or something mm-hmm. like that.
What? So snakes.
It's just the nature of our legal system. But, you know, it doesn't really have any precedential value other than just looking at the facts, the mm-hmm. fact that the government was so desperate that they would bring up a case that they had no evidence to prove. Just to discredit me, just to shut me up and put me away in a cage for 3 to 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what they would do to try to make that happen. And, of course, they got caught with their hand in the cookie jar. And like I say, that's where, you know, getting attacked is not fun, but there can be some benefits down the road for everyone if you can somehow withstand it.
Mm-hmm. Now, we'll get into Snipes in a moment, but I want to take a call, and then I want to talk about what we do know. I mean, Snipes did beat a lot of this rap. I mean, he beat all the felony charges, which mm-hmm. is incredible, and that's something that the government really doesn't even want to talk about. They were kind of able to get him backdoor with these misdemeanors. And I guess that still looks like it's in appeals because we did in the break go look it up and try to see if he had, you know, gotten that appeal. It doesn't look like it. So let's go to Kathy in Pennsylvania. Kathy, you're online.
Hi. I can't believe I'm talking to you. Jason, first of all, I want to congratulate you for where you are. The first time I saw you was on Democracy Now, and you were up against Popular Mechanics, and I said, this kid is telling the truth. I'm an old lady. So I said, this kid's telling the truth. I can tell by his body language he's telling the truth. So I looked at Loose Change, second edition. From there, I found Aaron Russo. From there, I found Alex Jones, and there you are.
Oh, excellent.
Ted, I mean, Joe, you're great. I loved you in Aaron Russo. I got to see that on the free channel that we had when I was living in Tampa. And it was just before tax time. I didn't want to pay my taxes. I'm listening. The whole thing was wonderful. You were great in it. And I started doing my own investigation on the IRS, and I came across Pete Hendrick. After a year and a half, I came across Pete Hendrickson's Cracking the Code.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my money back from the IRS, and I want people to know that. It's not just going up against them and having to be in court. You can actually file an amended complaint, and you can cite this guy took, I don't know how much time to go through all the code, which was like a billion words, and point out where all the fallacies were. And when they say employee, we're tricked into believing we're the employees, but it's really relating to federal employees and people who work for the government and other various people. It's not, income isn't everything that comes in. Income means a certain thing, and he deciphered the whole thing, and I was able to get my tax money back, including Social Security and Medicaid, mm-hmm. not only from the federal government, but from the state. All the taxes I got back from 2004 to date.
Wow, that's excellent. Now, what do you know about Cracking the Code? Have you seen it? Thank you for the call, by the way, Kathy.
Yeah, thank you, Kathy. Well, she brings up a lot of good points. I've read Pete Hendrickson's book, Cracking mm-hmm. the Code. I'm fascinated by it because it's very truthful. It's very well done, very well researched. I couldn't poke any holes in it.
Was this something you were reading when you were first, you know, coming across the information as an IRS agent? This is something down the line.
Down the line. Mm-hmm. Yeah, more recent. Certainly confirmed a lot of the things that I had learned earlier through other sources.
Mm-hmm.
So on the one hand, very impressed with the book, Cracking the Code. I think it's another book that the IRS is trying to ban or otherwise – put under a bushel so that no one...
Maybe we'll see that next to America to Freedom and Fascism in the next...
Probably so.
Next to the Turner Diaries.
Right.
Jeez.
But, so anyway, in terms of, you know, the veracity of what he wrote about, unparalleled, it's really impressive. However, you know, one of the reasons that I was prosecuted was these three tax returns that I was accused of preparing falsely was the first step in a process of asking for the client's money back.
Mm-hmm.
And we followed the rule book. And, you know, in a sense, Pete Hendrickson's book is about the rule book. And people using Pete's method do ask for refunds.
Mm-hmm.
So having asked for a refund on behalf of a client myself and having been prosecuted and having to spend, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on legal fees, mm-hmm. I'm not one to advocate going and trying to get your money back from the IRS. I mean, even though I was acquitted...
it's like trying to wrestle a nickel away from Ebenezer Scrooge, right?
Right. So, you know, I do understand her comments about the book. I would highly recommend reading it. As far as going after your money with the IRS, you know, if you got a couple hundred grand laying around...
The David and Goliath story, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. All right, let's go to Chris in Florida. Chris, you're on the line.
Hey, Joe, thanks for being such a pioneer and waking so many people up, making us think. Back in 1996, I had a court victory, and people have asked me the same kind of question that reporter asked you. Why, you know, how did you get away with it? And the answer I have to, you know, how did I get away with making a plea agreement to pay court fines, court costs, and since the court would not accept lawful money, as defined under Title 12, Section 152 of the U.S. Code, the Coinage Act, that discharged my obligation by her refusal of my tender. And when I get asked, well, how do you, you know, why do you break the law? Why do you think the law doesn't apply to you? Well, I would say, well, I did obey the law. I did everything in my power to, and they just didn't feel like obeying the law themselves, because here it is in the Coinage Act. And my question for you was, and maybe I don't know if Alex would have this information, because he said a couple of people in Las Vegas, seven people in Las Vegas had used this argument, where the lawful money is refused as tender, and so their obligation is discharged under the Uniform Commercial Code. So do you know of that case of the seven people who tried that argument?
Yes, it's the Carey case. The gentleman's last name is spelled K-A-H-R-E, but I believe he pronounces it Carey. And he was prosecuted, and I believe he was acquitted, but I think they've taken a second swing at him. I think he's actually... He was in trial, I think, in May. I don't know if the trial is still going on now, whether he was acquitted. I imagine that it's a very long trial. So it could still be going on right now. But I'll bet you if you Google or search engine Carey, K-A-H-R-E, you'll see the latest results of that case. I do like the money issue. I think it puts it right in their face, the IRS's face, that they're not using lawful money. And when you try to actually tender payment – in the form of gold, they're just like, it's like you've put a cross in front of Dracula.
Now, does it have to be gold? Can it be silver? And by the way, Chris, I thank you for the call. Because it is the Coinage Act. Is it basically precious metals, or is it just gold? Or
I'm not sure. The stories that I've heard are the anecdotal events of people actually presenting. They've presented gold. They've presented basically gold American coins. And the IRS just freaks out. And here they are presenting actual money, you know, as defined by the Constitution and the Coinage Act and the various statutes. So it's really amazing to watch the IRS squirm when it's like, yeah, I'm ready to pay you. You know, here's the money, and you plunk it on the table.
And it's like no dice.
It's like, well, we can't process that. So yeah. It's amazing. So I would encourage people to look into that issue in the Carey case. Again, Mr. Carey used that as a payment vehicle for the people that worked for him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes the issue you bring up that is just such a devastating blow to the IRS can mean they're going to come out swinging with the most devastating blow to you. So, I mean, my hat is certainly off to Mr. Carey, because he has dedicated a lot of his life to fighting over this. And, you know, he's basically a business owner who was paying the people that do work for him in lawful money.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're saying it's not lawful anymore because we had an Asheville man charged in alleged Liberty Dollar fraud scheme over the weekend. Yeah, it's unbelievable. This guy was basically just paying off his debts with silver coins in most instances. You know, 1 ounce of silver, $20. I mean, I'm not sure what it's trading at right now. I think somewhere around the $16, $17 mark. But anybody knows you can't get an ounce of silver for less than $20 on the internet. Sometimes much more, sometimes upwards of $30, depending on what kind you buy and where you buy it. And they're saying that he's trying to bring down the United States dollar, like he's going after the currency. Well, it's really vice versa. They're trying to destroy the U.S. dollar, and they don't like people dealing in hard currency because it secures their assets.
Right. It's the actual property that you could actually hold on to rather than having a diminishing value of these things they call dollars, the Federal Reserve notes.
Yes, ever dwindling. Let's go to Josh in California. Josh, you're online. Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Jason. Good evening to you both.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, Josh. Hi. I wanted to mention a couple of things and have you speak to these points particularly, because this is something that some people are doing, and it's well known in the Patriot Movement. So aren't all indictments, warrants, et cetera, considered commercial offers, which can then also, as an offer, be accepted? And if there's no money circulating as far as currency, then doesn't the acceptance of that offer commit the full fulfillment of the obligation as far as the issue coming from the government, and then us having the having a tax exemption? We can use that exemption to offset that liability and have them deduct that from our exemption. Now, can you speak to that? Do you know what I'm talking about, the redemption process?
Is this like common law, Josh?
No, the commerce and the commercial process that was developed by Roger Elvick in the late 1990s and early 2000s.
All right, let's get Joe's take on in a moment. I got to let you go because you got that radio in the background. I can hear my echo.
I'm not too fond of that redemption I shouldn't say I'm not fond of it at all. I've never seen it actually work.
In theory, it's nice, but in reality, you're going to end up behind bars or worse.
There may be some truth to it. Maybe after the break, I can talk about a little more about.
All right, yeah, we're not trying to blow you off. We're not trying to bust you off the line, but you got to turn that radio down, guy. That's how it works. That's how this talk radio thing works. You call in, turn the radio down, so I can't hear myself over and over again. Final segment with Joe Bannister, freedomabovefortune.com. Be back after this.
Well, come on, all of you big, strong men. Uncle Sam needs your help again. Got himself in a terrible jam way down yonder in Vietnam. Put down your books and pick up a gun. We're gonna have a whole lot of fun. And it's 1, 2, 3. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. The next stop is Vietnam. And it's 5, 6, 7. Open up the pearly gates. Well, there ain't no time.
All right, folks, we are back. Final segment with Joe Bannister. And you were just talking about that that one statute that the last caller brought up and how you're not a fan of it. I mean, people do get convicted of this. I mean, Sherry Jackson, you know, and I want your answer on why you're not fond of that. But Sherry Jackson, who's in America Freedom to Fascism, they had another go at her, like you were saying. Sometimes they don't give up after one go. And they got her last year, right? Or was it might have been 2 years ago now.
2007. And Sherry, you know, is every bit as innocent as myself or any of the other people in the tax movement. But the government, you know, is rabid to discredit us and silence us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a long story, so I can't really get into it. But they basically railroaded her, and she wasn't prepared for some of their dirty tricks. And, you know, by the grace of God, I was able to, you know, walk through that minefield. But I just as easily could have been it could have been.
And what was her sentencing, by the way?
She got it's 1 year per tax return. And there were 4 tax returns that they claimed that she was required to file. So 4 consecutive years.
And that seems to be the same thing they got Snipes on. All the felony charges were thrown out of court. He got off on all those. But then they brought up those little misdemeanor charges. They charged him to the full extent of the law. They said that it was 3 tax returns, and those are the 3 years they're trying to give him now, and it's an appellate court currently.
Yeah, he was acquitted of all felony charges, and actually the misdemeanors, which was the willful failure to file a tax return, the jury acquitted him of some of those and convicted him of some. So it wasn't even a consistent verdict on the misdemeanors.
So you're telling me they went after him for more than 3 of his tax returns with the same charge?
I believe it was 5 years, and the jury acquitted him of 2 years and convicted him on 3, even though it was the same charge.
Very interesting.
For different years. So it's you never know.
What I want to know is why people aren't taking America Freedom to Fascism, throwing it in the DVD player as their final argument, because they let you do whatever you want. I mean, I can't imagine somebody watching that film and just – you know, not being completely blown away or seeing somehow that it's a scam. I mean, Aaron Russo sits down with one of the head guys. Yeah, the commissioner of the IRS.
Commissioner. Uh-huh.
And he cannot get a straight – I mean, the guy will not answer the question, yes, there's a law, here it is. Not at any point in the interview.
Right. Well, the court is such a controlled arena that being able to get that film in there would be a challenge, if not impossible.
Really?
Yeah, but yet if a jury saw that film ahead of time, mm-hmm. thanks to the efforts of Jason Vermes or Alex Jones, it's a whole different story because mm-hmm. they've already seen it. There's no prosecutor trying to keep it out of evidence. So it's really – you really want to try to do your education.
So even in your last statement, you're limited to what you can do. I was always under the impression that you could present anything in the final statement.
It's very, very controlled. I mean, you have to have, and that's why I wouldn't be here if it weren't for Jeff Dickstein and his knowledge of 30 plus years to know how to box a judge in and make sure that you get in what needs to get in so that the jury can see, you know, can you can communicate your innocence.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very high challenge.
I mean, you were telling me it's pretty much nightmarish.
And it's, I mean, to sit there and wait for the verdict mm-hmm. is there's.
I mean, I can't even imagine. I mean, I'm in a big baseball game as a high school kid. That's a big moment. Or there's a big job interview, and you know your heart's kind of sunk down there, and you're just waiting. But you're literally moments away to find whether you're going to be a free man or you're going to spend years in prison.
Yeah, that was the only time I was holding hands with other men. my defense attorneys on either side of me.
That is great. So if people want to get in touch with you, what's the website? How can they help you out, Joe?
My website's freedomabovefortune.com. I've got a radio show on libertyworksradionetwork.com on Saturday mornings mm-hmm. from 7 to 9 Pacific. And I'd like people to just join my email list at freedomabovefortune.com and keep in touch.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me.
All right, Jason. Thank you.
We'll be back after this. News Blitz, first two segments. Then we're going to do Earth 2100. It's the Info Warrior, prisonplanet.tv, infowars.com.
Never remorse for you, no letters endorsing you. Pole position in the coffin is what is costing you. The caucus bosses who control the fortunes through the mortgages of a culture with losses through and through.
But it's the rebel arms.
Godspeed with devil's charm. The shit made can switch blades in every arm. And this way we ex-nay on any harm. Cause snakes play and fakes lay like hidden bombs. We march in unison. The soul is truer than eternal missions with just a lifetime to do it in.
All right, we are back. I'm do a bit of a news blitz here in this segment and the next. Then we're going to get to Earth 2100. We'll take your calls at the 30 after mark on 2100, and then we're going to go back to that. More news. I guess I'm going to take this last comment for Joe Bannister, even though he's no longer in studio, and he does got to get moving. He's going all the way to Dallas tonight. So let's just go to Dan in Connecticut. Dan, what's up?
Nothing much. Have you ever heard of Dave Merland by any chance?
No, I can't say I have.
Well, Dave Merland was actually fined one penny by the IRS twice, and they paid the fine, so he had a fine of none. You can go to jurisinformatics.com, check him out. He's got a very interesting angle he takes him on, and it's so effective they can't even touch him. So,
all right, I'll definitely check that out. It sounds like you're on the run, man. I hear the cops in the background. Get out of there.
Oh, no. It's craziness over here. Somebody must have done something nuts. So
all right. I thank you for the call, Dan. I'll check it out. Asheville man charged in alleged Liberty Dollar fraud scheme. Federal authorities arrested an Asheville man and what they said was a scheme to undermine the U.S. currency system and defraud consumers with so-called Liberty Dollars. Now, these dollars aren't defrauding at all. They say they're an ounce. They have a $20 value on them. Just like any silver coin that's been made in the last 5 to 10 years. And it is hard currency. If people want to trade you for hard currency, that should be legal. It should be legal tender. No one's trying to pass it off as something that the federal government prints up. William Kevin Innes marketed the barter currency, like it's bad to trade. See, they can't tax you when you trade with one another, when you have a system in which there are hard assets that the government does not control because they can't just print it out of nowhere. They don't like that. They don't appreciate it. And you won't believe how many years of prison this man is facing. This barter currency in Western North Carolina recruited merchants willing to accept it and give it as a change for products bought with real money, according to an indictment unsealed this week. Innes, 53. This is a 53-year-old man. 53. They are going to charge him with up to 45 years in prison if he's convicted. 45 years in prison for taking a silver coin that will retain its value, that will have inherent value once the dollar completely collapses, and bartering with other people in his area. God forbid. See, they know the Lakotas are doing this now, and they're making a $50 marker, and they don't like that one bit, but they're not under their jurisdiction currently because that's a tribal government. So now they're starting to go after people in this country to make it clear that it's not good to have silver and gold. Silver and gold are bad. They're very bad. Don't you understand? They're not good for you. You don't want them. Don't save your family. Don't save your home. Gold was only, you know, $300 6 years ago, and now it's $900 plus, almost at $1,000. That's a bad thing. That means gold is worthless. Go invest in the stock market. The stock market's great. Go get into the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ's great. Don't you understand how this works? So now they're trying to bully people This is unbelievable. Ines made an initial appearance before a federal magistrate judge in Asheville Wednesday and was ordered detained pending a detention hearing set for Monday before his judge in Charlotte, according to the U.S. Department of Justice. Liberty dollars are coins made of silver or gold and are touted as inflation-proof and a way to encourage buying local goods. That's what they are. That is correct. They are inflation-proof. Correct. When groups seek to undermine the U.S. currency system, the government is compelled to act, said acting U.S. Attorney Edward Ryan of the Western District of North Carolina. You know what, listeners? Here's your opportunity to take part in something. Here's a way to be proactive. Here's something that you can do. You can contact Edward Ryan of the Western District in North Carolina, where he is the U.S. attorney there, and tell him how displeased you are with the fact that he's going after a 53-year-old man for using silver coins as a currency. Again, his name is Edward Ryan. He's the Western District of North Carolina, and he's simply disgusting. There's a guy you need to go after. We're going to come back, do more news after this. It's the InfoWarrior with Jason Burmis, Earth 2100, still coming up. Jason Burmis. And if you've been following the show at all, listening in the past few weeks, past few months, you know that one of the focuses that I like to really shine the light on is that we're already being tracked, traced, and databased in almost everything we do with our cell phones and on the internet. This has been exposed in lawsuits against AT&T. Mark Klein went on MSNBC. He went on Olbermann, and he basically described how it was his job to wire the secret room, if you will, where all data was hardlined into a computer, where it kept this information. Now, from the 90s, we know about Promise. We know about Carnivore, these two software applications that will go after large amounts of data, look for keywords and phrases, and then put you into separate categories, especially if you're a spooky terrorist. Ooh. Well, I've been saying that this is still in the appellate court. In fact, if you go to Wikipedia right now, Hepting versus AT&T, it says that the case was immediately appealed to the Ninth Circuit, where it has been argued and awaits a decision. And this is a case back from January 2006. And, of course, the Bush administration tried to say that they had retroactive immunity. That means we're immune from all the crimes we committed, and you can never prosecute us no matter how much evidence you find. Retroactive immunity. Totally illegal, totally insane, totally out of control tyranny. But this government thinks that they can do that, and they put it on paper. Now, I don't know if this story pertains to this case, because this has not been updated yet. It may be the case that these have been thrown out of court, but this happened on Thursday. People were sending it to my MySpace. I thank you guys very much. A federal judge on Wednesday upheld an immunity law for telecommunications companies and dismissed dozens of lawsuits by customers who accused AT&T and other carriers of collaborating in illegal government wiretapping. That's exactly what they were doing. And it wasn't just AT&T. It was every major telecommunication company in the country. The Federal Communications Act of 1996. You know, Alex is very good about bringing that up. It's incredible to me. The evidence is right on the table. And the Bush administration got caught wiretapping Americans without a warrant. They were actually going after people in this country. They said, oh, it was only overseas with the terrorists when people were calling in or out of the country. Totally untrue. And we know this was taking place before the Bush administration. We know the Obama administration has asked for even more executive administrative powers. And now he's going to start a cybersecurity office with a cybersecurity czar or coordinator. And they're merging DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, in with NASA. Or not NASA, I'm sorry, the NSA. I don't know why I said NASA. I do, because I have an article about NASA in front of me that we're going to get to a little bit later when we do this Earth 2100 bit in the next segment. Now, what's crazy to me is that this basically says, yeah, the government's right.
They love you, and they're allowed to spy on you, but we're not going to publicize it. This is off of the San Francisco Gate. This isn't on the cover of ABC or NBC.com. It's not on CNN right now. Why is that? Well, they don't want you to know that you're being spied on at this very moment. Now, they don't have the manpower to manually go through everything, and they're not watching you, you know, live. But what it does is, again, it's track, trace, and database. They put you into a system, and then they run that through programs, and that databases you. So if you do become somebody of interest later on, they will check out your files. Then they do have the manpower for that. They don't have it for everybody. Now, they're building that up. That's why you're seeing kids as Boy Scouts being trained to take on terrorists in the Explorers program. Remember that disgruntled Iraqi war veteran that comes back and he's going to shoot people from a tower? The Boy Scouts to the rescue. And of course, City Year being promoted on television as the hip new thing to do. Oh, you could be Gandhi. You could be Martin Luther King Jr. You could be Mother Teresa. You could be JFK. You are change. Wear a red Nazi jacket and it's okay. And of course, City Year is a group that does good things, but now AmeriCorps has hijacked them through the funding given in the Give Act. This is about socialism. This is about acclimating us to this type of behavior. And again, saying that, you know, it's good the government does this, but it doesn't exist because they're not really spying on us, all this double thing. The law pushed through Congress last year by President George W. Bush validly authorized the Attorney General to protect phone companies from liability without having to publicly disclose whether a company had actually allowed the government to eavesdrop on its customers, said Chief U.S. District Judge Judge Vaughn Walker of San Francisco. Hours later, Walker rejected the Obama administration's attempt to sidetrack another suit challenging the legality of the Bush's electronic surveillance program and scheduled a hearing for September 1st. The lawyer from Islamic organization, see, it's always about Islam. This has nothing to do about terror or Islam. This has everything about you and me. Do you understand? All the people that you know and love. They're the ones getting tracked and traced. In fact, we did a story on Friday that your iPhone, every time it does that application where the screen goes smaller, does that little bloop, that's taking a screenshot of you. And if they want, that's accessible. And we have all these local news outlets now showing you that, yes, your phone can easily be hacked into. You do not have to have it on, and it will record everything you're saying. You don't even have to be calling somebody. It works as a recording device. Do you notice that most phones have that option where if you hit the record button, it acts as a recorder? Well, somebody can do that remotely without you knowing it. And the only way to stop it is to take the battery out of the phone. That's right. You can have the power off and it does not matter. Just type it into YouTube and you'll see. I think there's at least six of them that have picked up on the story now. It's incredible to me. So apparently the judge has thrown these cases out. I would really like to know if this does mean Hepting versus AT&T, if this is in fact the story that we're talking about on the Infowarrior.com. I think it's about 2 weeks old. All right. Before I get into this really disturbing next story, it's not a shocker. I mean, it's just disturbing. It's off AOL News. I want to give a big shout out to my people out in Oneonta that are listening tonight, JC and Scanoni, two of my loyal listeners and friends, apparently. So thanks for listening, guys. Marine recruiter pimped girl, police say. Oh, the Marines. Oh, we've got the best and brightest in our military. Yeah, the best and brightest pimps, apparently. Police have arrested a U.S. Marine Corps recruiter on charges of felony pimping and kidnapping and are looking into whether he used sex with a 14-year-old girl to entice potential recruits. So this guy's not only a sicko, he was recruiting other sickos for the military to have sex with a 14-year-old girl. Very lovely, very Christian. Yeah, so society's not gone. Staff Sergeant Brian Damon Cunningham, 33, of San Pedro, pleaded not guilty to 7 felonies last Thursday after police in Orange discovered the teenage girl in a car with Cunningham and 2 other men. Men. Not boys. Men. The 2 men, ages 18 and 19, were potential Marine recruits, police said. The girl, who has since been returned to her parents in Hemet, told police that she met Cunningham online and had sex with all 3 men. She also told police Cunningham wanted her to work as a prostitute and had tried to talk her to Los Angeles County against her will. Police said they are trying to determine if Cunningham may have been using the girl to entice Marine recruits. Gee, I wonder. He's in a car with an 18 and a 19-year-old who he's recruiting for the Marines with the girl. She tells them that all 3 of them had sex with her. I wonder if he's using her to recruit other Marines. You know, I had to watch this this video somebody sent me. It's apparently fake, but it's, you know, this guy who's supposedly Iraqi war veteran, and he comes back and he talks about how great it was raping this young girl and she ended up killing herself. You know, whether that's real or not, The fact that people get raped in those prisons and they're often children. Listen, I don't want to hear that they're teenagers and they can take it. No, they're children. 15 years old, 14 years old, 13 year old. They're children and they're being raped at Abu Ghraib. Okay. They're being raped at Guantanamo Bay. That's the reality. That's what these pictures and videotapes show that they don't want to tell you about. 2004, that was confirmed by Seymour Hersh and others. We actually had members of Senate come out of the hearings and say what they saw was disgusting and deplorable, and they hope that it never sees the light of day in the American public. Now, some of these pictures were published overseas, and let me just tell you, they are beyond disturbing. Someone tried to send me these pictures of these Abu Ghraib girls, and they said, oh, these are the hardcore photos. I've got some of these hardcore photos from 2004. I just don't want to put them on this. It's literally, you know, three military guys at a time raping women. It's, you know, you see all that blood and those dogs. Why don't you see the guy with three quarters of his face taken out? Okay, why don't you see the guy that's just lying there with his chest, you know, pulled open? It's just unbelievable. These aren't interrogation techniques. These are people getting off on malicious torture. These are people who are literally summoning just evil. Good and evil exists, folks. I know a lot of people like to say it's just abhorrent behavior and we're all trained. No, good and evil at some level do exist. You should know inherently you should not be raping a child. You shouldn't be raping anybody, but a child? I mean, how sick do you have to be in the head? And how sick do you have to be in the head to try to, you know, say that that's okay or justify that type of behavior? Meanwhile, you know, Barack Obama goes over to the Middle East and he says, oh, I know there are people that question and justify the attacks of 9/11, as if the two are the same thing, question and justify the attacks. No, if you're questioning it, you want to know what really happened. You have all this evidence presented in films like Loose Change and Fabled Enemies. That's legitimate. Trying to justify the official version that, you know, Islamic militants came in and killed all these innocent people, that's not legitimate. And he says, you just got to get over it because it's a fact. Al-Qaeda attacked us. They killed 3,000 people. This is something we have to deal with. We can't hear your questions. I'm Barack Obama, president of the world, and you'll love me. And by the way, in this Earth 2100, he is sometime down the road, sometime around 2040. I mean, he would have to be an old man, but you hear his voice come over the loudspeaker as he's talking to the people. So apparently Barack Obama in the future is going to have some, you know, lord-like position. Maybe he'll be the secretary general of the UN. And they actually, in these clips that are coming up, they actually drill. They drill 2015 and climate change. And who's the secretary general? Well, it's one of the Obama appointees. And we're going to get into that on the other side. Next 5 minutes, I'm going to take phone calls from everybody. Then we're going to go to some of this Earth 2100. We're going to do some comments. And then I want to take your call specifically on either the climate change agenda or this film. I mean, this film goes broad. It's not just climate change. It's not just quarantines. It's not just mass exterminations. It's not just plagues. It's total global government propaganda, promoting globalism throughout. And even when we come together, even when we treat Mother Earth right, it's too late. We've destroyed it. We're bad. Humans need to go. It's the InfoWarrior with Jason Burmes back after this. PrisonPlanet.tv, InfoWars.com. It's the Info Warrior. I want to give a shout out to whoever uploaded Earth 2100, because when they uploaded to the internet, it actually had a Prison Planet logo on the back, or that was the tagline, the tag name. And then they posted over at a popular torrent site, rlslog.net, and actually thanked Alex Jones and myself. So big ups to you guys. Thank you so much. I really needed this torrent, and it helped out. I watched this thing with my jaw on the floor. Jaw on the floor. Could not believe it. I mean, if you believe this thing, and remember they always say, oh, it's a possibility. Within 10 years, the country's over. It's all over. I mean, everything's ending. Oh, strife and droughts and people are going to die and the earth can't be saved. And it's all because of our addiction to oil, and it's promoting peak oil and all this garbage. Yuck. Disgusting. Deplorable. Let's go to Mark in Oregon. Mark, you're online.
Hello, Jason, and good evening to you. Jason, you know, I see the detail in the pervasive preparations for martial law, the planned and soon coming complete destruction of the U.S. economy, and as Janet Napolitano, Homeland Security Chief, said, the much worse flu pandemic, which will arrive in about 3 months, is not a maybe, but it, she said, will. There was no doubt about it. I see all this as full and undoubtable evidence that unless a New World Order tyranny is brought to a very rapid halt, we're going to experience as a nation and as a world the complete end of any freedom and liberty which is presently left to the people of the world. This loss of all freedom and liberty, of course, will include the info war in its entirety. Everything you and many other worthy truth tellers have exposed in the area of the end of the endgame, Jason, is very much on schedule to occur in about 3 months. 3 months, okay? Mm-hmm. With the advent of martial law and massive sickness and death from poison and forced vaccinations. We've got to come to this reality that we're in a very short time frame here in all great probability and keep it at the uppermost part of everything that we say and everything that we do because time is just about run out, Jason. I really like your comment.
Well, you know what? I'm waiting to hear whether or not the WHO goes to pandemic level 6. They keep saying they're going to. That Bloomberg article said we have 10 days. Now, if you believe them, we have about 6. If they do declare this pandemic and we do start seeing troops on the street, even if it's just along the borders or amassing, I think that you might be correct. And, you know, I don't know if I have the answer to that situation. All I can do is warn people of what's coming, read articles like this one, and let people know not to take the vaccination, to stand up against the government if this does occur. I tend to think that they want to wait it out even more because I don't think they're ready to have the type of infrastructure that they need. They built the government agencies. They have the buildings. Now they need the people. And I think that's why you're seeing, you know, City Year coming up, AmeriCorps being in surge with money. I think that they would much rather, you know, string this along for another few years, kill the economy in that length of time even further, then bring in their North American Union. And as that happens, and they do have the infrastructure in DHS and the NSA to really surveil people manually, no, you know, not just run it through a computer system, have people literally operating the drones and literally, you know, the Stasi force and going to pick people up as civilian police, then we could see that. But I might be wrong. I've never been 100% right about anything, and I truly hope that your vision isn't the one that comes true because, I hope so. I mean, 3 months, what am I going to do? I'm in a lease for another 6, man. I know that sounds petty, but I don't see it going down like that. But then again, people could get very incensed if the economy crashes even further and more people lose their homes. And I think that's why they're in a race this summer to have NLE 09, where it's Mexico, Canada, the United States, the UK, and Australia together again for the very first time in a drill that's unprecedented, that will have makeshift FEMA centers, that will kind of harmonize all this spying going on with every local, federal, and even tribal government that they can infiltrate. And they intend to infiltrate all of them in FEMA Region 6. I thank you for the call, Mark. Let's go to Matt in California. Matt, you're on the line.
How you doing, Jason?
Good.
First off, I'd like to bring up that there was a Ron Paul interview on the Huffington Post by a woman you can search, Kathleen Wells.
Okay.
And you know, I look down at the comments, and I'm, you know, I can tell that the Obama facade is breaking completely. I mean, I looked at.
Well, let me hold you over. And by the way, apparently on Scarborough Country or Morning Joe, I'm not sure which show it was, someone called in and just praising the Obama deception and Alex Jones. If anybody out there caught it on the DVR, we could use it, post it on YouTube. We'll be playing it tomorrow, but it shows we can have breakthroughs. We can have people call the mainstream media and tell the truth. We can reach more people. Back after this, it's the Info Warrior.
I'm a one-man revolution. The time is nigh. The day is dark. There's only one solution. Cause I'm a one-man. I'm a one-man. Slave ship.
right, folks, we're going to go back to Matt in California. Then we're going to play some of this Earth 2100 that aired on, I think it was ABC last week. I believe on Wednesday. It was June 2nd, so maybe it was a week ago. Actually, I guess it would have been on a Tuesday then. Tuesday last week. Caused a lot of controversy. Wasn't able to get an actual high-quality version until the weekend, and what I saw just floored me, folks. Just floored me. All right, Matt, what else you got?
Well, it was. I just wanted to talk about that interview, but also I've been reading Margaret Sanger's "Women and the New Race,"
mm-hmm.
and I was reading this quote where she actually says, "While there are cases when even the law recognizes an abortion as justifiable if recommended by a physician, I assert that the hundreds of thousands of abortions performed in America each year are a disgrace to civilization." So on one hand, we have this psychopath saying that abortions are bad, but on the other hand, she advocates sterilization of an entire race. Mm-hmm. So it really goes into how sick and psychopathic these people are, and it kind of ties in with the old climate change agenda that I think people who, you know, blindly support global warming and what it actually is have, you know, a truly irrational hatred for the human race.
And well, I got to agree with you. I mean, I've got this study right in front of me. And the reason I said NASA earlier, because it's a NASA study, and it actually says the NASA study acknowledges that the solar cycle, not man, is actually the cause of climate change. And they show all sorts of graphs. Here's the article. Some researchers believe that the solar cycle influences global climate changes. They attribute recent warming trends to cyclic variation. Skeptics, though, argue that there is little hard evidence of a solar hand in recent climate changes. Now a new research report from a surprising source may help to lay the skeptics to rest. A study from NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland, looking at climate data over the past century, has concluded that solar variation has made a significant impact on the Earth's climate. The report concludes that evidence for climate change based on solar radiation can be traced back as far as the Industrial Revolution. Past research has shown that the sun goes through 11-year cycles. At the cycle's peak, solar activity occurring near sunspots is particularly intense, basking the Earth in solar heat. According to Robert Callahan, a climatologist at the Goddard Space Flight Center, right now, we are in between major ice ages in a period that has been called the Holocene. So again, this is not man-made. We cannot have an effect on the heat that comes into this planet. What we can have an effect on is what's in our water, what's in our soil, and what's in our air. But them demonizing CO2, and they demonize CO2 in this. They demonize coal hardcore in this. Yet again, remember, peak oil's real. Climate change is real. You know, later on in life, we are going to have to start spraying the sky with pollutants. It's all in this program. I thank you for the call, Matt. I let you, but I got to play this clip. All right, let's start it off. Let's play it from the very beginning. I'm going to be, you know, stopping it occasionally and giving my comments on it. But this thing is just too crazy not to comment on. So we're going to go through. It gives you a little overview in the beginning. I'm going to hold it off there and really show you what this overview is preparing you for. And then we're really going to get into it. Hit the clip.
In my life.
You just got to hit play again, guys.
I've seen New York City under full quarantine. The Midwest overrun, devastated by pests. It's California. And then what happened next was something none of us saw coming. It became a race against time to save our future, to even have a future. It's the year 2100, and I survived.
To change the future, first you have to imagine it. Earth 2100 starts now.
All right, let's pause it. Now, this woman, born a week ago, she was born in 2009. Apparently, she is a 91-year-old woman. Doesn't sound like a 91-year-old woman. Doesn't matter. Because they get this really calm, assertive woman to tell you this story, someone you can sympathize with. They don't want an old woman telling it. You know, they want you to kind of displace time, that this stuff could happen even sooner than they're saying. Because they start showing you that dragonflies are coming over, they're migrating because of the heat. It just gets into total insanity. But right now what you're going to see is a news anchor, because this is kind of a news program. They intertwine actual news clips with their cartoon telling of this woman's story, intertwined with experts. So right now this guy is going to prep you what this is all about. Oh, it seems unthinkable that our society could break down in this manner, but it could. Hit it.
The idea that within this century, perhaps in your lifetime, our civilization could lie in ruins seems unbelievable. But according to some of the world's leading minds, that's not just a worst-case scenario. It's a real possibility. Good evening, I'm Bob Woodruff. Over the next 2 hours, we'll take you on a journey into a world that could await us and our children. 370,000 babies will be born today. And we've taken the liberty of creating one more, a fictional character we're calling Lucy, who will be our guide through this century. Her life story is not a prediction about what will happen, but what might happen.
This once glorious city, whose lights at night could be seen for miles, empty now. Its towering skyscrapers, once a testament to our ingenuity, now stand as crumbling monuments to our demise.
Maybe only artists can grasp what that kind of future really holds for us. It's perhaps in the area that we think of today as science fiction, but that could be a very real future for the planet.
Now let me pause it right here.
100 years from now.
The guy that was just talking apparently is an Obama administration appointee. He later, in a drill that he does with all these other international intellectuals, because this is about globalism. This is global government in motion. This is about we need to reduce our carbon footprint. And they say that very early on. They're prepping you for the kind of legislation that's coming out right now, right now. And what's going to happen in the next 4 to 5 years. In fact, that guy plays a prominent role only 6 years from now in 2015, where he holds a conference where they decide that the U.S. has to give up 25% of their carbon emissions in a 30-year period. So this guy is on the inside of government. He is promoting this unbelievable agenda of where we have to sacrifice, we have to live in lower conditions. And as the thing progresses, you're driving smaller cars, they're part of these railway systems, you don't have enough water, there's not enough food for everybody, everybody's sacrificing, there's rations, it's just an everyday part of life. People are in the streets. You know, people actually get fired on this from military martial law personalities in an outbreak about 30 minutes in. And I'm not talking about a plague outbreak. Basically, they say the droughts are coming and you're going to have massive migrations of people and these people break out of the pens. What can we do but kill them? So right now, they're really just preparing you for this nightmare scenario. They showed you some pictures, if you're watching PrisonPlanet.tv, that are pretty much cartoon style of I Am Legend. You know, just vines growing over all the monuments, no people around, desolation, buses, you know, crashed and off to the side in pieces and rusted out. That's what they're showing you. They're basically showing you Armageddon only 100 years from today. Hit it.
New York is abandoned. I can imagine some advanced creatures, maybe humans, maybe extraterrestrials, looking at New York and saying, those ignorant people, how on earth could they have ever expected to survive?
I can ask myself what happened, but where do I begin? With the droughts, the famines, the plague? It began long before all that. I lived through it all. My story is everyone's story.
Stop
the
it right
story
there.
Of the last
story of the last century is everyone's story. My story is everyone's story. Get ready to relate to me because this pertains to everybody. And remember what you just said, famines, plagues, droughts, quarantines. That's everybody's story in the last century. And, you know, it shows a picture. Again, this is very stylized propaganda. You know, it has that urban cartoon look in 3D, and it's kind of going off into the sunset of this woman who's telling you this story. And right now, she's in her childhood looking off into the distance. All right, can we continue to play the clip, guys? Let's hit it right here.
Entry. I was born June 2nd, 2009. Civilization was at a crossroads. We were in a race for our future.
I say to you that the challenges we face are real. They are serious and they are many.
The temperature is expected to keep going up.
The stock market plunged.
Douglas County will run out of drinking water.
They will not be met easily or in a short span of time. A
sixth grader came down with suspected swine flu on Wednesday.
Energy, climate, food, population, economic pressures. Any one of these challenges might be very serious in itself. But because they're happening all simultaneously, it's going to be very difficult for our governments to cope.
All right, let's pause this right now. You see, it's all about governments coping. It's not about people coping or changing. It's all about the government saving us. And they're very slick. They're intertwining things that are actually happening this week, this month, swine flu, for instance, the economy openly collapsing, for instance. And then they're intertwining Obama's voice, the new leader, talking about all these things. And then they go to news clips of third world countries and Africa, and they show groups of people because there's too many people. Remember, they talk about overpopulation in there as well. That's another thing they're discussing. So again, they're making it very slick. It's got this cartoon look, but at the same time, these experts are talking to me, and there's the newsman. And wait, these are actual news clips. It's very confusing to the mind that admittedly goes into that state where you have plausible deniability, or not plausible deniability, what is it called? Suspension of disbelief already. And you're already into it. This is the program you're watching. They don't call it programming for nothing, folks. It's programming for a reason, because it's programming you to get ready for these types of things. Swine flu, you know they're hyping that up. They want you to take a three-spot shot in months now. If WHO goes to pandemic level 6, I mean, that's basically what I'm going to have to dedicate my show to until pandemic level 6 is over. But people don't get it. They don't understand. So right now, they are using very slick propaganda of showing current events with things that have nothing to do with current events, and then video that has nothing to do with overpopulation, and then a scientist saying, well, any one of these things is a real challenge for humanity, as if problems never existed for humanity before, and we haven't been able to overcome them and become a more civilized society. As if that hasn't happened. All these problems at once. Well, it's doomsday, folks. All right, hit the clip.
It's up for grabs.
Raising sea levels.
Catastrophic weather.
10-year drought.
It's scary.
These are things that are happening today.
The time for action is now.
The world had never known such uncertainty. We were used to having what we wanted and doing what we wanted.
Pause it right there.
The analogy that I would draw.
So right now, we were used to doing what we wanted, and you're damn right we are, at least in this country. We are used to that. And what we want is freedom. In most cases, people are very happy to wallow in their own ignorance and just want their Jenny Light and their sports teams. But those in the know do want their freedom. It's called individual human rights. And everything you read in pandemic planning takes those away. Everything you read about world government is for the collective. In other words, the means or the ends justifies the means, and the means means killing a lot of people. And that's very unfortunate. A lot of people can't get that through their head. But even in this, as time progresses, I mean, there's a very sad moment in the middle of the program where she loses her parents, and it was so hard. But you know what? They died together, and she was so happy that they were together when they got that severe flu and they died. They actually hype it up that the flu kills her parents. And everybody, you know, this is at the point where everybody's, you know, malnourished and there's rations, and all of a sudden the flu just keeps getting stronger and stronger. People's immune systems just can't cope any longer. They're preparing you for this. All right, keep playing.
Is someone looking at their bank account, and week after week they're withdrawing money and they're enjoying a good life. If they would bother to read the statements, they would see that the bank account is dropping $900, $800, $700, $600. And at that rate, you know that
An evil bulldozer.
6 months of the good life, there's not going to be a good life.
Oh, no,
anymore.
Coal being mined. It's very
We've
evil.
Acted as though we were independent of the environment. We burned fossil fuels.
Oh, it's smoke.
We've overused our renewable resources in the belief that we could do that forever.
People are complaining about the economic crisis we have right now. You haven't seen nothing yet. You know, if we continue down this suicidal pathway that we're on, where
Pause
we
it.
Basically turn living stuff and
Pause it. Right there. Notice he says it again. This suicidal pathway that we're on. If we continue on that suicidal pathway that we're on. Oh, wait a minute. Where have I heard that before? Oh, wait a minute. Ted Turner said that same exact thing. And then he said that too many people are doing too many things. And that's already causing global warming.
He's talked about population sustainability. Ted, Mr. I just met with Oprah, Bloomberg, Rockefeller, Turner. That's who. Gates. To talk about overpopulation and what we can do to help. What we can do to curb overpopulation. Oh, well, thank you, Lord Turner. And that's coming out of the mouthpiece. This green activist. Everything's going green. You know, I had to watch a Goodwill commercial yesterday where Goodwill is now considering changing their logo from blue to green. Or that might have just a little green stripe to let you know we're here to help the environment. We love you very much. Everything needs to go green. You need to sacrifice. Obama said it in his speeches. You should have listened. We need great sacrifice for the entire population. These are global issues. This is a new world we're living in. All right, hit the clip.
The dead stuff and call that economic growth. This will look like the good old days.
Now we're in 2012, and those were 2009 were the good old days.
The world I was born into was running out of so much water, oil, land. I remember a loving family, a big house, green lawn, more water than we knew what to do with.
Pause it.
My parents must
see right here. They're prepping you. I had a big house. I had a green lawn. I ate well. We had more water than we can do know what to do with. It was happy times. See, that's how still the majority of the middle class are living, even though they're taking homes at a rapid pace. People can't pay their bills. They're losing their cars. Unemployment is at the highest rate ever since the Great Depression. On the books. On the books. 345,000 people lost their jobs in May. And believe me, those are lower numbers. Those are extremely low numbers. It's probably much, much more. In the good old days, remember, this is still 2012. There's still some kind of standard of living in 3 years, but that's about to change and change rapidly. All of a sudden, the evil dragonflies are going to make their way from Cuba to here. Now, they're supposed to be in Cuba. Why are they here? Well, it's global warming, of course. Don't you remember years back, not that far ago, when they said, the killer bees are coming. The killer bees are coming. Now, mysteriously, a lot of the bees are dead. Why is that? The killer bees never came, did they? It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. We'll be back after this with more Earth 2100 and your calls. PrisonPlanet.tv, InfoWars.com, and my little Bobby Bloggins, TheInfoWarrior.com. Folks, we are back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. Let's take some calls. We'll come back on the other side of the hour, do a little news blitz, and then we're going to get back into Earth 2100 and take your calls while we go over that. Just an incredible piece of propaganda. And remember, this comes out just around the same time as the Home Project being pushed by YouTube and Google. And it's a free video for everybody. And we're giving away the DVDs and we're putting it into schools. And it's going to be on 50 countrywide theaters. 50 countries in theaters. I'm babbling a bit here, but it's just incredible to me. And it's all about how we're bad and global warming is real. And we have to pay a global carbon tax. This is about everybody. Jason, you're against saving the earth. You're evil. Your carbon footprint is probably 3 times the size of mine. Shame on you. Shame on you, you carbon monster. All right, let's go to Robert in Kentucky. Robert, you're online.
Hey, Jason, man. It's a great talk with you.
What
I was calling about, man, was I was listening to some stuff on YouTube this weekend off of some of the other talk radio, and a gentleman had mentioned that there were two ladies on that plane that crashed in Buffalo that had just met with Obama, and they were both of them had lost in 9/11, and they were calling.
Well, one of them is Beverly Eckhart, and yeah, she had asked questions from the very beginning. You know, she was around the same vocality, if you will, as the Jersey Girls, and she was a promoter of things like Press for Truth, and she did have her questions about 9/11. She wasn't, say, as outspoken as a Bill Doyle. And by the way, let me say this. The Denver people were able to get Press for Truth on the local PBS station 3 separate times, and they actually promoted my film, Fabled Enemies, as one of the giveaways if you donated to the station. So give those people a call and tell them you want them to play Fabled Enemies as well. I would love to have my movie on PBS out in Colorado or anywhere in the country. Go ahead.
Yeah, man. Another strange string of coincidences. You know, somebody who has a question winds up on a plane that goes down. It just. But one other quick thing, man. It's funny how entertainment imitates reality. I don't know if you checked out the new Metallica video, but
are you talking about the one with the chemtrails?
Well, yeah, the
zombie one.
The Tuskegee.
Listen, man, I played that while I was subbing for Alex Jones about 2 months ago. I played the entire video, and I got calls from the Christians that I was the evil demon seed of the world. They are never going to listen to the Alex Jones show again. Even though I'm describing, not only is it the Tuskegee experiment or the Tuskegee event, not only that, they do eugenics throughout the video. Then it shows you the chemtrails as a weapon to stop the eugenics. Then at the end, they actually play news clips from actual chemtrail local videos. So, you know, it was something I felt I needed to cover. And by the way, Death Magnetic is an awesome album. We've been using it for bumper music. I hope people go check out the video for All Night Nightmare Long. It does have the chemtrails. It's very relevant. I thank you for the call. Let's go to who are we on? Steven in Texas. Steven, you're on the line. Yes, sir, Steven.
Yeah, hey, Jace. Good evening, fellow useless eater.
It sure seems that way. I don't know if you've seen all this hype or this is the first time you're catching any of this Earth 2100 outside of what Alex has played on his program, which was just the preview. But this is just the start, man. This thing without commercials is over an hour and 20 minutes long. It obviously played for a two-hour segment, and it is just rife with propaganda about climate change and we're the enemy and carbon taxes and we better get going now or everybody's going to die, Stephen.
Well, you know, before I get to why I called, I just want to say, you know, you look at that special 2100, and man, I'm telling you, you hit the nail right on the head. That is propaganda.
All right, we're going to hold you over. We're going to hold you over, Stephen. This is a little bit of the Metallica we're talking about. In fact, this is All Nightmare Long. How fitting. We're going to be back right after this. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. Go check out the blog, theinfowarrior.com, right now. Before we go back to Stephen in Texas, I want to thank one of my great sponsors out there, MySolarBackup.com. That's MySolarBackup.com, 877-327-0365. We're talking 1,800 watts of power in the case of an emergency. Your power goes out. Guess what? Your electric generator is not going to work without electricity. This one does. They've got a bunch of other great products over at MySolarBackup.com. Help yourself get off the grid today, Jesse Ventura style, or better. I mean, these guys have all sorts of products. It's MySolarBackup.com, 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. All right, let's go back to Steven. Steven, continue.
Yeah, before I get to what I call, I just want to say about that 2100, you know, I was thinking, you know, could it be that the reason there's not any people left there is because there's this thing called eugenics that wants to kill us all off?
No, never. The government loves us. Just like Alex Jones said in the preview to my Friday program, the government literally makes the sun shine and the grass grow, my friend.
Oh, that's funny. I thought they're supposed to block the sun's rays because of global
Well, yes,
warming.
If they don't block the sun's rays because they make it shine. Now, when they block the sun's rays, it's for our own good, sir. It's to help us survive. They love us.
Hey, two quick things. Speaking of Alex Jones, I turned my local news station on here in Houston, 740 KTRH, and here they were talking about people's concern over the Obama administration being against guns and trying to get all our guns, and lo and behold, who do they have on there they're interviewing but Alex Jones.
Oh, wow.
And so I thought, wow, that's great, you know, and he just really gave a good plug for, you know, how things are going as far as, you know, this whole gang. He basically referred to them, that's what they're about, wanting to take all our guns away. So I was really glad to hear, here's Alex right on mainstream news being, you know, broadcast. The other thing I wanted to mention real quick, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday at church, and she owns a bunch of apartment complexes here in Harris County, and she just mentioned to me out of the blue that she decided to put in wells where her apartments are so she doesn't have to use the municipal water supply. Well, she said now what's happened is Harris County has decided to charge her for that water, and they're charging her at the rate of, I think she said, 2.5 million gallons a month rather than the less than 300,000 she's actually using. And I asked her, well, have they put a meter on it? She said, no, this is totally where they're estimating it. And so I launched from that into, took the opportunity to talk to her about Argentina, you know, and how they did the same thing there, and they got people getting over $2,000 a month, you know, bills for their water, and so now they basically can't have the water that they want, you know. And yeah. I, of course, from there I went into about stuff along the lines of what's going on, and happened to mention about, you know, these people are all support Obama. They're, you know, he's not the only one. I mentioned Bush, and just the fact that, you know, this is being done on purpose. You know, just wanted to give her something to think about. But, you know, you think about that. Here's a private landowner that she's drilled her own well, and yet the here the authorities have come along and said, nope, we're going to have to charge you for that because,
well, Stephen,
you know,
you obviously haven't seen Earth 2100, my friend, because there are going to be droughts and water shortages, and our lords in the government and corporate entities need to charge us for that. In fact, in this special, Stephen, they actually say that not only is gas going to go up because, again, peak oil is real and we can't just keep going to this resource, but we're going to have massive droughts. There's going to be rationings of water. San Jose is going to be the first major city to lose water, and that's when the rioting starts. That's when people start getting out of control. That's when we have the mass migrations, and it's actually okay to shoot large groups of people trying to survive even though they're unarmed. That's what Earth 2100 is about, and we're going to get into that on the other side. It's the Info Warrior, folks. I can't make this stuff up. This is mainline ABC television telling you that the human race is a destructive, barbaric being that needs to be culled. It's the Info Warrior back after this. Dylan, Kenny, Elise, and more after this segment, or perhaps somewhere down the line in this segment, but I really do want to just get right back into Earth 2100. When we last left Lucy, everything was still plentiful in her eyes. We're at 2012, and she lived in a big house, and there was green grass, and everybody had water and food. Those are the good old days. The good old days. The days that we're experiencing today, when the economy is crashing. Remember, they're intertwining news stories with this, and they continue to do so. And again, the experts are telling you how bad it's going to get. Well, it's about to get bad in 2012 and then into 2015 and further. Hit the clip.
Have known what was happening. We had a
just
compact
takes a second,
car
folks.
And recycled. And it wasn't just us. Smart, imaginative people everywhere were working furiously on solutions. Our government was pouring money into alternative energy. It seemed like everyone was growing their own vegetable garden.
Let me pause it right there.
Were sprouting up all.
Nobody's planting their own vegetable garden at this point because they're trying to outlaw it. They're trying to say it's illegal to organically farm. There's the propaganda. See, they're showing that everybody's starting to work together. We're all acclimated to recycling. Everybody's recycling, and the government is now truly pouring all this money into, quote, alternative energy and carbon credits. But that's on purpose. That's to make us sacrifice while they gain more power, while they really flourish in this environment. Well, believe me, they're not going to drive a smaller car. They're not going to give up their personal jet. They're not going to own a smaller home. They're not going to use less water. That's for you and yours, okay? And now they're showing, oh, man, we were really trying to get it together by 2012. All these windmills and their solar power, and everybody was really smart, and they were working towards the betterment of humanity. Hit it.
All over, people were beginning to understand. The clock was running out, and nature was always one step ahead.
Flowers are blooming earlier, and trees are leafing earlier. Birds are coming back from migration much earlier.
If you were to pull back from the earth, what you would see is sort of a refugee movement, if you will. And species are moving their ranges farther north to get to cool, from south to north, and from the valleys up to the mountaintops.
Of course, as a child, I didn't notice these things, having nothing to compare it to. I was a little girl enchanted by my small world, until one summer, thousands, maybe millions of dragonflies showed up out of nowhere. They were delicate and beautiful, and I put one in a jar. My mother was puzzled and looked them up. They were supposed to be in Cuba, not Miami. It was not until much later that I realized they were a sign of what was to come.
See, there
it's
it is. They're migrating.
6 short years from now, and the best laid plans are getting underway. A wave farm off Scotland is harnessing the ocean's energy. Vatican City has gone totally solar. And here in America, cars are running cleaner and more efficiently. Still, we cling to that old habit, oil. It's getting harder and more expensive to find.
All right, let's stop it. Literally telling you 6 years from now, they're going to roll out with their peak oil hardcore and say, look, we just don't have enough. We're going to have to start charging $5, $6, $7 a gallon again. And they show you the oil prices. They're going to show you the gas prices if you're watching PrisonPlanet.tv. And the whole point of these locusts, if you will, that's what the dragonflies represent. They're going north from Cuba to Miami because, oh, we have to migrate north where it's getting a little bit warmer. Oh, global warming is a reality. It's very bad for everybody. And they continue to harp on it. They say things like, oh, Vatican City has gone completely solar. Well, that is a possibility. You know, we're seeing stadiums now built for just micro amounts of money compared to in this country. Overseas, we did a story on it. I can't remember exactly where it was, but it was fully solar powered. This is possible. Solar power has gotten that far in the public realm that we could use solar power as a viable source of energy. But they don't want you to have free energy. Do you really think that the elite would like you to have free energy that they don't have control over and they can't charge you for every single month? And then have control over your lifestyle, depending on how much that bill is. They know what your way of life is going to be. They know whether you're going to be going paycheck to paycheck and struggling to pay that bill. They'll just increase it for sunlight. Sunlight. Not something they have to, you know, refine or collect. Sunlight. They want to regulate sunlight. They don't like you off the grid. Hit the clip.
Coast motorists are searching for relief from soaring gas prices in California.
We could see a doubling or tripling of real oil prices. That's after inflation.
We're running out of oil, and we've created a society, the American way of life is what we call it, based on the assumption that oil will be plentiful forever.
The large spread out suburbs that we've grown accustomed to, the strip malls, the big box stores with their enormous parking lots around them, all of those have been made possible because we've had cheap gasoline. And as energy becomes much more expensive, you'll see that those areas become less desirable places to live.
Right there, folks, they prepared you for the ghost towns because of peak oil. Peak oil's a reality, and now we have ghost towns.
The first time I moved, I was 6. A lot of people were leaving the suburbs for the city. There were
Let's
new
pause
jobs
it for a moment.
And
you notice everybody's leaving the suburbs for the city. Now, if you've listened to Alex Jones for the past how many years, in Road to Tyranny, the first breakthrough 9/11 film, in my opinion, he talks about their desire to get us into a cashless city control grid. They don't want you living in the country. They don't like strong communities where you know your neighbor. They don't like the middle class. That's why Lou Dobbs has been reporting on the war on the middle class for almost 5 years now, if not more. It might actually be more that he uses that tagline, war on the middle class. And now, oh, my family's forced to move. We've got to go to the city where the jobs are. This global warming is just terrible. All right, can we hit the clip? Let's hit it.
You didn't need a car for everything. My dad was going to work on the new streetcar system in Miami. And my mother told me we were going to live on the top floor of an apartment building. She said we'd see the palm trees below us. I was excited, but also a little sad to leave.
As the price of oil goes up, it will ripple through every part of the global economy.
In Washington today, protesters demanded an end to rising food prices.
Our agriculture system is almost wholly dependent on cheap oil. Tremendous amounts of diesel fuel that are used in planting and harvesting, and then moving the stuff all these vast distances.
By 2015 in the United States, add about 20 million people to the population, and then just play out what that does to consumption patterns.
All right, let's pause it for a second. Let's play out what that does do to consumption. Well, maybe the government will stop subsidizing agriculture. In other words, they will stop paying people not to grow their surplus or just kill their surplus. We have enough resources on the planet to feed everybody. If we wanted to feed everybody, we could feed everybody. That's not in the cards. They already feel that the world is overpopulated. They like their eugenics program of soft kill, of sterilization, okay? So for them to say to you, oh, well, prices are going to have to go up because of oil and we just don't have enough food, it's total Johnny nonsense. It's total shenanigans. Listen, I live in when I lived in upstate New York, there's a thing called the Amish, okay? What they use is horse and buggy, and they till their own fields. They survive. They're self-sufficient. They can grow their own food. They get by. But we're not able to do that because we're such weak-minded idiots. We've become soft. Remember, dodgeball is banned in some schools. Dodgeball. That's how soft we are. We are softer than a marshmallow in most cases. And a lot of people are going to lap up this propaganda crap and think it's a reality. All right, I'm going to take some calls right now. Then we're going to go back to Earth 2100 on the other side and do the same kind of format here. This is just too important not to cover every little bit because it's taking you step by step what they're actually trying to do. And that is to create this new control system based on the environment and your fear of it. Let's go to Colleen in Pennsylvania. Colleen, you're online. Yes, Colleen.
Thank you for taking my call again, Burmis. How are you?
Good.
Excellent. I had the honor of doing a conference call with my local House representative, Kondorsky, again today. And confronted him regarding the H.R. Bill 1207.
Mm-hmm. And that's the one to audit the Fed. For those that don't know, it has over 180 co-sponsors at this point.
Yes, actually, it's 190 co-sponsors.
Oh, wow.
So far, that's right. And so far, Kondorsky has refused to support the bill. And when I explained what the bill is and the nature of it, he said he hasn't had a chance to look at it, which is not necessarily true. Copies have been sent to his house, to his office, rather. And it takes under 5 minutes to read, unlike the Unconstitutional Patriot Act, which is approximately 7 pounds if you were holding the documents in your hand. Mm-hmm. When you read H.R. 1207, it can be read in under 5 minutes for an average person. And
It's very short and to the point.
It's very short and to the point, and it's very simplistic, and we make it a point to show the federal government how our finances work in a fiscal year, so it is their obligation. The private Federal Reserve needs to be audited and show us their books, so to speak. And Kondorsky said he will read the bill, and if it's favorable, he will support it. But so far, he hasn't, and that's been very disappointing. But like I said, this is my second chance to be on a conference call with Representative Kondorsky. And hopefully we get our 191st sponsor of the Audit the Fed bill.
Well, just make sure you hold his feet to the fire that he actually reads the legislation. And when he says he doesn't want to co-sponsor that bill, you ask him why not and what specifically. Because, again, it only takes 5 minutes to read. It's a very short bill. It's very to the point. It's very transparent, which this government and the Federal Reserve is not. We'll be back with more Earth 2100 after this. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. Stay
I knew she was a virgin when I first met her. Rockin' stockings and popping out of the Catholic school sweater. Mom told me she could do better than a criminal. 17-year-old psychotic trying to be lyrical. I never meant to break the heart of a couple of life, but I was careless instead of treating her right. I seen her again at some club stripping and wondered if I could have made her life different.
I made a mistake. Yes, I did.
Damn, shorty. You got me on some singing.
going to continue to take your phone calls, and we're going to get into Earth 2100. We're only really, we're not even 10 minutes deep into the program. I keep interrupting it because there's so many points to make. And really, we could probably do a show for the rest of the week on Earth 2100 and the Home Project alone with the amount of propaganda, pro-globalist propaganda that's presented in this special. Dylan in North Carolina. Dylan, you're online.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey, Jason.
Good. Hey.
Have you seen that movie, Angels and Demons?
I did go see Angels and Demons, and in fact, I had Mark Dice on, and we discussed it for about an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to, when I was young, you know, I was like normal kids, you know, hyped up on sugar and drinking soda and not eating their vegetables and shit. And
Got to let you go, buddy. You got to watch the language on the show. We're G-rated here. We're G-rated at the Info Warrior, believe it or not. I know I'm wearing PG-13 type clothing sometimes, but I guarantee you we're G-rated. Let's go to Kenny in Washington. Kenny, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason, how you doing?
All right.
Hey, well, first of all, it sounds like even though our buddy Dylan might be avoiding the GMO vegetables, maybe the mercury and fluoride got to him because he doesn't know not to swear on the air. But hey.
Yeah, hey, it's tough. High fructose corn syrup's in just about everything, and about half of that is cut with the mercury, but it's all delicious and nutritious for us. I guarantee you that.
No kidding. Anyways, I had just and then a question if I got the time for it.
Sure.
My comment being, you know, you mentioned that somehow the voice is still speaking to the people in 2040.
Yeah.
On that Earth 2100 deal.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned he might be the UN Secretary General, and, you know, that's actually possible. Scary.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing might be because he is sort of like God. And I don't know if you've seen that Evan Thomas, the editor of Newsweek.
No, he's talking on a roundtable discussion, and he says he's kind of godlike. And actually, Rob Jacobson was able to pull that clip, and you will see it in the Obama deception, too. I can guarantee that. He's our Lord,
excellent,
sir. Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. This guy, he's in every Walmart. There's posters. You know, every hip-hop shop, there's new hip T-shirts. There's rhinestone hats. They're bowing down to him in Saudi Arabia. He's out in Europe, proselytizing in front of the Holocaust Museum. Oh, this will never happen again. He's ensuring that Al-Qaeda attacked us on 9/11, and the time for questioning is over, sir. We need to get the terrorists. We need to act now.
Well, yeah, apparently so, and maybe I should go, join up with City Year or something. Maybe I can be part of that.
Well, you can get a cool jacket, and that way you can shed your individual skin, and you can bring in this new world-type skin. And create a new world in general, you know, that your global skin. That'd be good.
Well, exactly, you know, and I've apparently been doing my homework by watching movies like Earth 2100.
Yeah, no, and that's good. It lets you know, humans are bad. We've got to sacrifice even faster. But no matter how much we sacrifice, we're still going to screw it up in the end, apparently.
Hey, I got a quick question for you
sure.
as well. I'm out here in Seattle. I called about the Locke, Sims, Kerlikowski, and Reichert all getting appointed to Obama after suspending our free speech and all that. There's so much crap going on out here in Seattle, and there's a guy, I got to give a shout-out to the Dory Monson show. He touts himself as a libertarian, and, I'm almost positive he's seen freedom to fascism just because, you know, that long list of possible taxes that you can pay other than the income tax?
Yeah.
He read that entire list on the air. So,
and that's a really good part of the movie because he's running on a treadmill, you know, and it just keeps the money keeps coming out of his pockets, and there's literally just a slew of other taxes outside of the federal income tax.
For sure. But I guess my question is, out here in Seattle, there is so much crap going on that I am literally, I'm basically forced to take Alex's and your advice and, you know, go a step further than just waking up my bandmates, waking up my friends and family. I'm thinking about starting an internet radio show, and I was wondering if you had any suggestions as far as, a website that does.
Sure. I mean, I made my bones on other radio programs before this, before I was on GCN. You know, I was on Revere Radio Network, where you could get away with the kind of language that caller used. And I was, you know, cursing a lot on that show. I'm sure if they ever pull up those archives, I'll be made out to be some kind of a demon. But then I did a little broadcasting for another alternative radio network. And then I even did some on Stream 4 for Genesis for almost 2 years. I had a 5-night-a-week show with Dylan Avery called Louder Than Words Radio, where we're on for 2 hours a night. So I've been working on this. Contact Revere. They usually give any patriot with half a brain a show and see how you work out. And you just got to start small and get big, man. You know, promote the podcast. Build a MySpace page. Just know you can make a difference and be patient, because patience is a virtue. You know, this stuff doesn't happen overnight. I wasn't speaking to this large of an audience, you know, even 1 year ago. It's the Info Warrior. We'll be back after this. Earth 2100 after the break. Don't forget to check out the new website. I mean, it's the same old website with a new banner, and you can actually see the podcast and the Listen Live button. It's over on the right-hand side. Very easy, very applicable. Constitution in the background. Can't beat it, so join it. www.theinfowarrior.com. And don't forget, I have my own little YouTube channel posted over there today, just a preview of what we were going to go over on tonight's show, Joe Bannister, Earth 2100. It's youtube.com/JasonJustice911. And don't forget, if you want to get at me with some tips, it's myspace.com/JasonBurmis. I got to tell you, I'm about 100 backed up, but a lot of the stories that I did read to you tonight did come from there. So please send me your videos. Okay, without further ado, we're going to go to Elise, Ronald, Kelly, Chris, and others. But I want to get back into Earth 2100, spend some time on that, take your calls in the second half of this segment. Let's hit the clip.
Natural resources.
As the American way of life becomes increasingly unsustainable, the rest of the world will be trying to catch up.
The Chinese like cars, and they like big cars. You have 14,000 cars added to China's roads daily.
Incomes are rising really rapidly. They're moving into meat-based diets.
You need 10 pounds of grain to get 1 pound of meat. There is simply no way that the rest of the world can start eating meat the way we do.
If everyone in the world consumed as much as the average American, it would take the resources of four Earths to support the planet's population.
Let me pause that. That is a total made-up lie of a number. It would take four Earths to feed everybody as well. No, it would just take four times the production now. We got plenty of room on Earth. I don't know about you folks, but I live in the country, and there's all these things called rolling hills and farmland. And I know out in the desert, there's all this desert land out there. And I know in the Midwest, there's just rolling fields, just flat fields where there's nobody living for miles and miles and miles. Drive across the country. I guarantee you'll see it. But it would take four Earths to feed everybody meat on the planet? No, it would take more people with cattle farms, with pig farms. But don't talk about pigs. They've got swine flu. It's going to kill us all. Oh, no, the boogeyman is in the form of a pig. Let's go back to the clip.
Raises the question, should the rest of the world consume less or should we? American habits, though, are hard to break.
We in the U.S. have gotten used to the idea that we're somehow immune to natural limits and it's the other people who are going to suffer.
Oh, no, you're going to suffer. Don't worry.
Good morning, Miami. The summer of 2015 is on track to become one of the hottest in history. Temperatures are expected to be in the triple digits.
My mother and I were waiting for gas. The line went around the block and then some. Nothing new. But this time, the line had stopped moving altogether. A man who worked at the gas station came out holding a sign. People started yelling, and they got out of their cars and started moving towards
him. Here comes the civil unrest.
My mother got us out of there fast.
I've been staking out an area that's been hit hard recently by gas snatchers.
Let me just pause this. Now, what they're showing you are web submissions. See, they're hip to the fact that now CNN has iReporters and Current TV. And by the way, that's tragic that North Korea took those two journalists and they sentenced them, I think, to 5 years or 5 or 15 years in prison. Something outrageous. I hope that that sentence is commuted. Another story. But they're using that kind of hip technology, and they have these little web submissions throughout the show. See, this is an iReporter for history, and now people are taking gas from cars. They're gas thieves everywhere. All right, go back to the clip.
Wow. Look at this. Right in the middle of the day, this car's going by, and these guys are siphoning gas out of someone's car.
In the face of mounting protests over rising gas and food prices, Congress today approved a plan to fund the construction of 40 new coal-fired power plants over the next 5 years.
The country took the easy way out.
Pause it.
Coal was once again...
Now they're saying that coal is the easy way out. Oh, they went with the easy way. And I want people who own barbecue shops that use coal to think about this. They're about to put you out of business. They're about to make it impossible for you to live. They're going to charge you so much tax for using coal because of its CO2 emissions. They don't want you to know that coal is a plentiful resource that we could power the country with. They don't want you to understand that. See, we're taking the easy way out, going with coal. And we know this because last week they did a study where they actually admitted, and this is probably true, that when they burn coal, it emits mercury, and that mercury then runs off into the water, and then the water supply infects the fish. And then because of that mercury, which is poison, it's not poison when it's in a vaccination, though, according to the loving government, but it is poison. They admit it in this. See, there's too much mercury coming off, and it's going to give you liver disease and all sorts of other problems. So we can't go to coal. Well, why not just regulate it so that the mercury runoff doesn't go into our water supply? That sounds like the answer to me. But they don't even mention the mercury in this. They just do a good job at demonizing coal. Here come the big bad experts talking about how CO2 is bad and coal is very bad. So we can't use coal. Oh, we were idiots for using coal. Hit it.
And touted as our so-called salvation. But the more coal we burned, the faster our planet warmed. You get the picture.
We're spewing more carbon, more methane, more nitrous oxide into the atmosphere. All the bad things of climate change are coming true.
And most people were just going along with their everyday lives as if nothing had changed.
And until we have a crisis of some kind, I don't think we're going to be motivated to wake up and say, okay, now we have to change.
All right, pause.
Sometimes it takes...
There it is. You know, we need this crisis. Remember like George Soros said, we always got to mobilize and use a good crisis. We need a good crisis. That's what motivates people. And that's why you saw false flag attacks like 9/11 to motivate people to give up their freedoms, surrender their liberties, go into the Middle East and start killing brown people. See, they have these big events because it does mobilize the masses, the sheeple, the chattel, the ones that they espouse about in their own documentation. And I was one of those people. I went along with the flow. I never thought that I could be under mass mind control. But if you bought into this propaganda, I hate to tell you, you're under mass mind control. That's what's happening. This is a science. This is something they've worked on for hundreds, if not thousands of years in some respects. And they've got it down to a super science where 100% of the people are susceptible, but 90%+ fall for it every single time. And it's sickening. All right, I'm going to take some calls, possibly go back to the Earth 2100. I mean, we only got 20 minutes left in the show, and in that program alone, we've got over an hour. That really can tell you how far that goes. Who knows, maybe tomorrow we'll pick up where we left off on Earth 2100, maybe make it a segment all week long, because it is that important. It is predictive programming. It's telling you within the next 100 years, peak oil's real, global warming, man-made global warming is real. We're going to spray pollutants into the sky. There are going to be troops on the street. They're going to have the permission to kill citizens. We're going to have plagues. New York City is going to be quarantined. We're going to move everybody into cities. I mean, this is what this special is about. It's unbelievable. All right, let's go to Elise in Illinois. Elise, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason, how you doing?
Good.
I wanted to talk about the predictive programming thing, mm-hmm. but first I just wanted to mention, because Thursday and Friday, keep being you, because
you.
there are those of us out here that are not religious, but we're still patriots.
Yeah, and that's fine with me. You know, I mean, I want as many people as I can on this.
But you are the person that I can say, listen to this guy's show, to like my friends that are in the religious crowd, so to speak. Mm-hmm.
I liked religious, by the way. I thought it made a lot of good points. I think Bill Maher was a little bit cocky in that picture. Nowhere near as good as some of the other documentaries on the subject. Obviously, I like Zeitgeist. I don't agree with all of it, but I think Zeitgeist is good. There's The God That Wasn't There. I'm going to promote that as well. I mean, there's no harm in looking at this information. You know, we shouldn't say that it's harmful to actually look at information. That doesn't necessarily mean it's right or I promote it, but I think it's interesting, and I think people should at least check it out.
Yeah, but, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, just keep being you. It's good that we have someone a little more secular out there that's getting the information out, because I can get people to listen to you that I might not be able to get to listen to Jones.
Well, thank you.
And about the 2100 thing, the first thing that hit me was it was 2012 again. Is it just me, or is there just everybody's talking about 2012 and it's starting to creep into the mass media with these movies coming out and then now in this, you know, everything was fine until 2012. Mm-hmm. And they must be gearing up something to happen.
Well, later on in the program, actually, they start talking about the fall of the Mayan culture and other civilizations, but they focus in on the Maya, and they always say that it's a lack of resources, and that's what's really brought these civilizations down, and anything could be further from the truth. What really brings these civilizations down is their arrogance and their expansionism, but they try to play it off like, oh, they didn't have enough resources, and we're going to go through the same exact thing. So the 2012 stuff is there, and of course, we have that big picture coming out, 2012, where of course the government knows it's almost the end of the world, but they're not going to tell everybody because they have their own underground bases. What's going to be like? Well, everybody's going to die. And it's by the people who did Godzilla and The Day After Tomorrow, the big disaster picture people. And they actually have this website where it looks like it's this group trying to stop it. And people have actually sent it to me like it's a real website. No, folks, it's a promotion for the film. Go ahead.
And the other thing I was going to say is my cleaning lady told me both this week and last week that she was listening to one of the news radio programs, stations here in Chicago, and they keep harping on how everybody should have at least 2 weeks of supplies of everything on hand, food, water, your medications, everything. You should always have at least 2 weeks or more on hand. And that, you know, and this is, we're talking mainstream radio.
Well, I think they're gearing people up for mass quarantines. I mean, that's what it says to me. If they do go to WHO level 6 and they say that this is a true pandemic and people say no to the vaccination, which we know they will, by their own polling, they said less than 30% would take it. You read into the study, it's 18%. It's less than 20% would willingly take a swine flu vaccination. Well, that doesn't bode well with the powers that be. They want to see over 50% take it. And if they get any less number than that, you can bet that they'll try to have UN or, you know, military troops, National Guard on the streets, and they may quarantine certain areas, and they're saying, hey, have your supplies. The government loves you, but we got to keep you in your house for the next 2 to 3 weeks. I thank you for the call, and I really appreciate what you said. Let's go to Ronald in Maryland. Ronald, you're online. Yes, Ronald.
Hi, hey, what's going on, Jason? I've been listening to your show for quite a few months, and just to touch base on that 2012 revelation that everyone's freaking out about. I mean, I agree with you. That's probably the end of the world, but who knows?
I don't think it's the end of the world, by the way. Don't agree with me on that. I don't think it's the end of the world. I think they're hyping it up into the end of the world.
I think it's going to be at 2012 is when the Mayan calendar ends, and it's going to be the point of time when man considers himself as a higher being. Or,
you know, I've heard that too. We'll see if it happens. Listen, I'm all down with the evidence that there might be a polar shift in 2012.
Yeah.
But beyond that, you know, I've seen the latest documentary put out by Disinformation. It's, you know, some of the stuff is excellent. The rotation of the planets and that kind of stuff is very, very interesting stuff. Yeah. And then even the Mayan predictions are something else. I've had Jim Mars in studio and we've discussed it on and off air. I just don't put that much credence into it. I kind of take the zeitgeist approach again in that, you know, they expect a coming of a new age. They are into this astrology. That is the age of Aquarius. But if you really look at it, it could come anywhere from 2000 to 2050. There's no way of possibly knowing. And, you know, that date, December 22nd or 23rd, whatever it is, 2012. I won't be holding my breath the night before. I guarantee you that. I thank you for the call, brother. I got to jump. Let's go to Kelly in New Hampshire. Kelly, you're on the line.
Hi, Jason.
Hello.
How are you doing tonight?
Good.
Oh, that's good. About 2012, like the caller, not the last caller, but the caller before, I don't understand how somebody can say be against religion and then I'll be hyped up about 2012 because 2012 is a religious thing. It's a religious
of a religious thing, but I don't think that she was hyped up on it. I think that she just said that it's their number and that the elite keep going to that number and the mass media is really promoting that number. And I think her point was that in the ABC 2100, everything was good in 2009, and then they get to 2012, and the headline is the good old days, and the disasters really start happening in 2012, and that's when people start moving out of the suburbs, and global warming gets much worse, and peak oil starts to rear its ugly head. So I think that's the point that she was making. I think she's really just going on the fact that you're seeing 2012 all over the media right now.
Okay. Well, you cleared that up for me then. My question is about pollution and global warming, because pollution is real.
Absolutely. In fact, smog is real. Let me say this. You know, I've flown into Los Angeles now probably a half dozen to a dozen times. And when you fly into L.A., you can see the smog. You can see it's polluted there. You can see that the air quality is not the best. You can see a haze on the sunniest of days. There is no doubt that smog is real, that pollution is real, that it's probably not great, that people are inhaling the air out there. But at the same time, it's not causing holes in the ozone layer. Okay, the CO2 emissions is not what's causing global warming. And those are the two main contentions. I mean, they have all sorts of emission standards in California already. Obama just passed that latest law where everybody in the country is going to have to get to those emission standards. We've had people from Harley-Davidson who work in the plants call up and say, hey, this is going to ruin our business. Every Harley-Davidson on the road right now is going to be street illegal. And it won't be, you know, economically plausible for anybody out there to make them legal again. So what's going to happen is either they're going to take them off the road entirely or they're going to start charging people carbon taxes. You know, pollution is real. And that's the thing that bothers me, is that people don't understand that the same corporations that are literally polluting the planet are the ones that are pushing this green agenda. So you can't think that they're actually going to clean up their act. No, they're going to act like they clean up their act as the populace absorbs the majority of the expense of this green energy movement.
Right. Have you read the book Unlimited Wealth? And what do you think of that?
What's it called?
Unlimited Wealth, Paul Zane Pilsner.
Unadmitted Wealth? I have not read it. It's by Pilsner, you said?
Yes, it's called Unlimited Wealth.
Oh, Unlimited Wealth. No. Give me a little synopsis.
Okay. Basically, it's saying that the early alchemists, they believed that God would not put people on the planet without the planet's ability to support us, and that technology is the key, that any time, like back in the 70s when there was that huge oil questions, they came out with the technology to have fuel injector cars instead of carbureted cars, and that took the cars' use of oil.
Well, let's just say this. The technology now exists right now, and 10 years ago where electric cars were actually out on the street. I would encourage you to go check out Who Killed the Electric Car. What they did is they wouldn't allow people to actually buy these cars. They had to lease them. And at the end of the lease, they did not give them the option to buy. And in fact, they went and rounded them up. And anybody who wanted to keep their car and try to, they were prosecuted in a criminal court. And then they took these cars and they literally crushed them all. And these were cars that back in the day were going, you know, 85 miles an hour and getting 80 to 120 miles to one charge. And the technology is just so much better today. They don't want that for you. They don't want zero-point energy. They don't want anything that you could get off the grid with. They want total and complete control. And you will start seeing more and more smart cars, but at our expense and our job losses. They just deindustrialized the entire car industry in this country on purpose to bring in a North American union. Thank you for the call. We're going to come back. We're going to go to Chris and more. It's the InfoWar with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, InfoWars.com.
When they tortured and scared you for 20-odd years, then they expect you to pick a career. When you can't really function, you're so full of fear. A working class hero is something to be.
Remember, folks, if you missed any of the program, the podcast is available over on the right-hand side of the InfoWarrior.com. So is the Listen Live button on the left-hand side. We've got pretty much an archive of the last 3 months' worth of shows. You can go to GCNLive.com and listen for the next 24 hours on demand. And, of course, you can go to the InfoWarrior YouTube channel and check out the little kibbles and bits that are broadcast for free the next day. All right, let's take some calls at the end of the show. Let's go to Chris in it's Iowa. Chris in Iowa, what's up?
Hey, Jason.
How you doing?
I just want to mention something about that last caller. Emission controls do not make your car get better gas mileage. They just make the reading that comes out the tailpipe smaller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that all that stuff ends up in the EVAP system and other parts of the car. But those systems, 90% of the time, are not working correctly after about 8,000-10,000 miles on the car.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be a diagnostic technician, and I was all the way up until the middle of OBD-3, was the mm-hmm. onboard mm-hmm. diagnostics 3.
Oh, I know what it is.
You do nothing but fix the computer controls on the car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got to the point now where they separate the computer systems now into different blocks between engine, transmission, body control, just so you don't have to replace each one mm-hmm. all of them at once. You can do one at a time, then they can get you with more and more money that way. But, you know, between the EVAP system and the EGR system, which is the evaporative gas, collecting that keeps the vapors out of your gas tank from building up. So when you turn your gas tank, it doesn't go anymore. You know, mm-hmm. that part it's sucked into the engine. Well, if that doesn't work right, your engine's gas air or fuel air ratio is wrong, and then you're not getting good gas mileage anymore. And chances mm-hmm. are, like most cars, they have a thing called limp home, where mm-hmm. they'll run at a certain setting if they're not running right,
mm-hmm.
just to get somewhere. And those settings are usually far worse than the last models of carburetors that came out in the early 80s.
Gotcha.
Got way better. They get way better than most stuff now. But that's I wasn't calling in for that. I was calling in. Have you seen the Xbox Project Natal?
Oh, we've just been reporting on it all week, my friend. In fact, we've got two blogs over at theinfowarrior.com. And have you seen Project Milo for it?
No, I haven't. If you compare this coming out, and I'm not sure if that's the same thing, and then there's a movie that's going to be coming out in September called Gamer that basically is revolving around this new, gaming technology.
Let's get it straight for people that don't know. Yeah, this thing has facial recognition. It has voice recognition. It's obviously a motion sensor for your entire body, and it interacts with AR characters such as Project Milo. Milo will be one of the first video games. If you haven't seen the Milo video game, you need to see Milo. It takes it to the next level. It really lets you know how advanced this is. And what you're doing is you're putting a biometric spying device in your living room, in your family's living room, that is connected to the internet 24/7, 365, unless you pull the plug. And most people will not have the know-how or even think about it to pull that Ethernet plug out. I got to let you go. One more caller, last caller. Donovan in Virginia, 50 seconds.
I'm calling because I've been on Facebook a lot and been trying to get big with the InfoWar for a while. And I noticed that Evelyn Rothschild had posted on Alex Jones's page that the humans will fall, the new world order will prevail. So I've been messaging him back and forth, and I pretty much got a confession out of him about...
Yeah, but is it the real Rothschild? You sure it's not a dummy site? Well, you know what? Send me the conversation. Print it out or do a little print screen. Send it over to myspace.com/Jason Burmis. Thank you all for joining me. The website's theinfowarrior.com. Go get the podcast right now.